Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the LFC Roundtable Podcast. This is the podcast where we break down everything from the feeds. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Melissa. How are you doing, Melissa?
I'm doing really great. This is the first time I've gotten to talk with you guys or with really anyone since the comeback or camp comeback twist. And I'm very excited to talk about it. There's a lot that has happened since we last got together. So this is going to be a good roundtable.
All right. Also with me today is Brent. How are you doing, Brent?
I am doing great. I'm here to rate and throw bad scores at all the people that deserve it and give great scores to all the people that also deserve it. So, you know, that's why you keep me around, Taryn.
You might say that people are going to get what they deserve on this podcast.
Yes. That is what they deserve. Yes, exactly. A score from me.
Yes, we are live on YouTube and you can join us in the chat as long as you are nice and stuff. I told everyone I did post a photo of my cat on Instagram and it turned out that my cat was the person trolling us in the chat all along.
Kellis was the imposter. I see.
He was impersonating humans. If you examined his trolling messages carefully, the first letter of every word spelled out, "Give me more food."
Have you seen that meme or that it's a thing, a GIF where it's like a picture of a cat, like right up on the camera. And it's like, my computer took a picture of the culprit who kept trying to log into my computer, but I got the password wrong 5,000 times and it took a picture.
Just a cat looking down.
Yeah. It's good. All right. Well, we're here to talk about the Big Brother 21 live feeds and cats. We are actively talking about cats because they love dogs in the house. It's our own little form of protest. So we've had a bit of a rough week this week. Since the last time we saw you on the round table, Ovi was evicted unanimously. Kat actually came a lot closer to being evicted than any of us predicted, with Jackson really wanting to get rid of Kat so that he wouldn't have to deal with her anymore. Oh boy, would that have been fun, Melissa.
Oh yeah. That would have been interesting. Honestly, I was so torn because I really wanted Ovi to stay. And I was kind of like, whatever, like let Kat go. But now that Kat stayed, I really like her a lot more. So I'm really enjoying her. I think she's fun. And so I feel grateful. Not that kind of grateful, but I can't even say the word now without like hating it. But, I feel grateful that we now get both of them in the house. And also that we get David in the house. Like I know I'm not supposed to talk about this yet, who's not there yet in the thing, but I just want to say that like David is amazing. I love him. Can you imagine if we didn't get to see him? Like if he just went out first, we didn't even get to see him on the feeds. That's it. I think he's one of the smartest people in the house by far. And I think that it would have been a travesty if we wouldn't have gotten to experience him in the game at all. Like, I mean, yeah, sure, he's not fully in the game, but he's still he's been in the house less than everybody else. And I feel like he has the best read on the house for sure. So, you know, as much as it's like, we don't like twists and all that sort of stuff, this is a twist I can get behind where we get to see these people in the house for longer.
Well, yeah. Well, the thing is, this is a twist that undoes another
twist. Right, that undoes the twist.
if they had just not done either of them, I think we'd be far better off, unfortunately.
Okay, yes, that is true. But you know what else is pretty cool, which I noticed after Ovi got out and he was talking to Nicole, and basically she was revealing to him, like, okay, so, you know, he was like, well, Jackson and Jack, they said they were going to go around and try things and it didn't work out. And did they actually try? And she was like, no. And he basically was like, wow, I got snowed. And you never really get to see that after an eviction. You don't get to see on the live feed somebody realize where they went wrong, who they trusted when they shouldn't have trusted. And, you know, usually it's like, okay, in an interview the next day or like way later on, they post about it on, you know, Twitter or something like, wow, I shouldn't have trusted so-and-so. But we got to see it live in real time, him realizing what had gone wrong during his eviction. And so I think that's really cool to get to see. So, I liked it.
Yeah, it's almost like a mini version of what the jury live feeds would look like, I guess.
Right.
Which is, it is interesting. And like, you know, when we talked about this twist initially, so, you know, we saw Ovi evicted unanimously and then Julie announces, no, instead we're doing camp comeback. Ovi's just going upstairs. David's coming back in. And so the first four people evicted are going to stay in the house until week three, I guess, when one of them is going to come back into the house and then the rest of the three are going to leave. And so, you know, there are interesting things about this, like what Melissa was talking about. First of all, we're getting to see somebody that we never would have had a chance to see otherwise. But again, that's kind of like just the result of a different annoying twist. But also we are seeing some unique things, like somebody being voted out and then, you know, sort of getting the chance to talk through what happened and why. Unfortunately, I do think that Ovi is probably the only person that's really going to work with, and he wasn't exactly the best example of that necessarily, because he is just kind of so nice, and it wasn't like the biggest blindside in the world, and it was a unanimous vote. And I think future votes, people are going to avoid, you know, lying to the person ahead of time. And so it's just going to kind of be a smooth sailing from here, which Brent, I think maybe you can talk on some more. There are a lot of downsides to this twist here.
There are a lot of downsides. I'm sorry, but I got into a little bit of a fight with Cameron from Big Brother 19 on Twitter. I wouldn't call it a fight because I've been in fights with people before. It's more like a tiff where he was like, this is the best twist ever in Big Brother history. And I'm like, girl, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, this is terrible.
Cameron would think that.
Of course. Here's the thing. I acknowledge people who were tweeting me who are going, don't you realize who is saying this, Brent? Like, I mean, this is Cameron, the guy that was evicted in the first 3 hours of his own season. Look, I get that, okay? But I expect, as a fan of the show and an alumni, for him to set aside his own personal vendetta against the show and twists in general, and acknowledge the bigger picture, which is this twist sucks. Yes, we do get things like he's seen David and how cool he is and how smart he is. But of course, as Taryn points out, that all could have been avoided if we would have just had not the first twist to begin with. The thing that it does more than anything else is it keeps the majority alliance together. It really cordons off the house from each other. There's less potential for a blindside or for a dumb move. Because people are like, well, if I target the person who was in my alliance, who I don't really trust and I don't really like, then they are not going to go anywhere. They're going to stay in the house and they're going to blab to everybody who will listen, including all the people who are targeting me, about our alliance, who's in it. They know where all the bodies are buried, and that's a problem. So that is the problem with the twist, is that the people who are evicted know where all the bodies are buried. So, of course, you're going to continue to pick off the people who are outside the alliance in order to try to keep everything as smooth sailing as possible. Case in point, Jack would have potentially taken a shot at Nick this week, who has been annoying the living shit out of him. And Nick has not been playing great. However, because of the context and the mechanism of Camp Comeback, even if he got rid of them, he's not going anywhere. And he'd be able to tell everybody about Grateful if he wanted to and say, you know, this is what happened. This is how we started it. And that's just, they're not going to do that. So, I mean, we're just treading water here until, and I'm grateful, there it is again, that we have four evictions, and David counts as one of them, because if it was 4 weeks, I think I'd probably be pulling my hair out. So I'm happy at least that it's going to be one more week after this Thursday. And that night, presumably, we're going to get some competition. I will say that one of my Twitter followers alerted me to the fact that they had tweeted out an idea for the pressure cooker from Big Brother 6 and said, you know, wouldn't this be a great competition for the people from Camp Comeback to come back into the house? And CBS Big Brother, the actual verified Twitter account, liked that. And they were like, do you think this is anything, Brent? And I said, no, I don't think it's it. First of all, we never get what we want from
the show.
They've
teased us with that before.
Exactly. They've teased us with that before. And we never get what we want. So, no, I don't think that's it. In fact, there's probably going to be something really dumb, like the House gets to vote, which they're already discussing in the House. And, you know, I don't even know if somebody like Jessica goes home. If Kimmy goes home this week and Jessica goes home next week, I think they're just going to vote Jessica back into the House and be like, see, you never left. Like, it's all good, girl. Because they don't really fear her at all. And she's just, she's terrible, too. So let's. Can we move on? I want to move on, like, further bagging on these people.
Yeah, well, I think that it's yet another twist that they just, I don't think they think it all the way through. Like this,
you got it instantly before you say anything. Before you, I will give you credit for this. I was like, oh, this is an interesting twist. Within 2 minutes of this being revealed, Taryn Armstrong is on Twitter saying, but here's the downsides to the twist. So I'm like, ah, shit. And then it happens. So kudos, robot. That was very good.
Well, yeah. And honestly, like, I don't even want to give myself that much credit, because I feel like most people would come to that conclusion fairly quickly, right? Like, I'm just used to it, right? So, but like, yeah. For some reason, the people that come up with these twists, the people in charge of the gameplay, they aren't able to think of these things. And they think that this is a great, what this will do is it will give an opportunity for the underdogs to come back into the game, therefore helping the balance of the game. I don't even know if they go that far, but at the very least, they're hoping that like an underdog character is able to stay in the game for longer. But what it's really doing is all but ensuring that that all of the underdogs and outcasts get evicted in the first 4 weeks of the game. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's all but a guarantee that either Jessica or Kat is going home next week or going upstairs next week. Yep. And that's because every single person in the house is saying, we need to wait until after Camp Comeback ends to make our move. It's frustrating.
I wonder if they didn't tell them how many weeks it was going to last, or like if they kept some part of it secret, and then that way it made it so it was like, well, this could go on forever, so we might as well like start picking people off or start going within the alliance or something. Or maybe if it was like they didn't have the first four people stay there. Like, you didn't find out when Ovi was evicted. Instead, it was like they stayed in their separate sequester. Like, yeah. It was like the four of them together in an upstairs room or whatever. Like,
on Big Brother Canada during season two, when Allison and Nate and Scott lived all in one room together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So like if they instead kept them sequestered separately so they could talk with each other and be like, hey, this is what I know about so-and-so. This is what I know about so-and-so. Only one of us is going to get back. So this is what we need to do when we get back or whatever. And then that way the crew in the house kept voting out whoever, because they thought they were leaving forever. And then one of them gets to come back. I mean, I feel like maybe
that's what we've seen on Big Brother Canada.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, I'm saying like, I think that they could have done that where, it, you know, that could have kept it so that way, you know, the alliance could have turned on each other. We could have gotten some more exciting stuff happening in the house. And we could have kept a feed on the four people evicted early. I do like the fact that they are still in the house. I just wish there was some sort of mechanism that could make it so it didn't just totally stifle gameplay in the house.
Yeah, the only difference with what they did in Big Brother Canada is that they did not have a feed on the evicted house guests, but they did live together and shared all of their information. And unfortunately, you know, I think that is better than what we're getting, although obviously less unique. I think it has a lesser impact on the gameplay, but ultimately, it was still a bad twist, and it still resulted in bad things, as far as I'm concerned. And the problem is that as soon as one person enters back into the game with all the information that they learned from everybody else, then every player is terrified that it's going to happen again in the future, even if it's not going to happen again in the future, and you know, so on and so forth. You do irreparable damage to the game, I think, when you do things like that, you know, without players knowing. You do it with players knowing, you're doing temporary damage, right? So it's like, right now we're in the temporary damage, but as soon as it ends, at least it's gone. They're not going to worry about it, right? So I don't know. It's a tough thing, and really, I just feel like, let's just not do that, because part of what makes the show great, in my opinion, is that people go home. We lose them, and it sucks sometimes. It's like, no, I don't want to lose Ovi. Oh, I'm so glad that he's back. And now it's like, well, okay, now I'm. Now I'm just kind of.
I do think that there is potential for game changing moves from these four camp comeback people. I mean, I think that if they. It could be a situation where they either overhear something or they decide to make up something that they overheard.
No offense, but they don't need any of that at this point. David knows exactly where all the bodies are buried at this point. He knows what's happening in the house.
Well, he knows, but nothing's happening with
it. Well, because he has no power right now. But
if he tells somebody that if he goes to someone who's impressionable within Grateful and says hey, I don't know. I have no stake in this. I'm just telling you what I heard is that, you know, Jack was saying he was going to target sis or whoever. I you know what I'm saying? You just create something, because what they have nothing to lose at this point. These people who are out, they might as well.
They've all decided that they're not going to listen to anything that David says. And I think the people that are most impressionable, people like Nick and Bella, Bella just runs her mouth to anybody who'll listen. She has diarrhea of the mouth. And there's no conceivable point to her gameplay. So I don't know who necessarily they would go to. But here's what needs to happen. They just need to come back into the house and win HOH. It's the age-old story. Taryn was talking to, was it Mary? Yes, Friday. Mary. Taryn was like, you know what? There's a great twist. How about there's this person, and they win a power, and they get the power to nominate two people. And then with that power, I mean, that's the reason it's not Survivor. That's the reason why we love Big Brother. Yeah. We were so close to this that Jessica almost won HOH. Although having said that, I don't know what she would have done. If she won HOH, I mean, she's dumb enough. She might have done something like Jack and Nick or something, and Nick would have got evicted or something. I don't even know. But this is just a mess. I'm so mad. I can't come back, Chris. It's just like we're treading water, waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I'm trying to be cool. There are some people on this season that I really enjoy. I agree with Melissa's assessment of Kat. I was rooting for Ovi to stay. Even bought a little bit of his stock because I was thinking there was a twist that was going to save him. But I'm really happy to see Kat in the house. But that's the price of reality television. Sometimes your favorites go home first. I would have rather Ovi just gone home. Sorry, girl, bye. Rather than have to deal with the bullshit ramifications of this twist, because it's just stifling gameplay. There's no way, even if Jessica stays this week, let's assume she stays, wins HOH, a big ask from her. And then what's she going to do? I don't even know. She put up Nick and Bella at this point. You know, if Nicole won HOH, what's she going to do? She really going to go after the people that we wanted to go after? We can't come back and play. What would she do? I don't trust any of them to make the right move at this point with this stupid twist in play.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for Nicole or even Cliff, the move is to not even try to win next week because of Camp Comeback. They need to wait at least another week. They have to then hope that it's going to be Kat or Jess, which I do think it would be. You know, I could unfortunately, honestly, definitely see Kat being the person to go in that spot as well when they're looking at Kat versus Jess. So, you know, it's put these people in a box that they cannot escape because of the circumstances. It's unfortunate. And on top of that, Jack is going to win the next HOH.
Well, look, all I know is that you guys seem to be really, really down on this twist. I'm actually not so down on it for shockingly, for the first time ever. And I'm enjoying it. And I think that also, I feel like you guys are thinking that this is the reason why Grateful is possibly going to maintain power or not going to turn on each other. But I just feel like they weren't going to turn on each other anyway for the first 4 weeks. I mean, it's not even first 4 weeks. It's like David's out. David's out. No, David's out. Listen. David's out. Obi's out. It's only 2 weeks that they have to stay together. I don't think they would turn on each other for 2 weeks.
These are dumb people, Melissa. These are not fans of the show. Jack was willing to make a move against Nick until Jackson's like, no, dude. Remember, can't come back. He's like, ah, shit. You're right.
I don't know. I don't think that they would. I really feel like they'd be like, they have other reasons to target other people outside of the Grateful Alliance. I think that
big move-itis would have set in. That's what I think
they would have just been like, okay, well, look, like 2 more weeks, whatever. I don't think that this is the reason why they're not going to turn on each other. I really think that that's...
Oh, we'll never know. That's the problem.
I mean, we won't know. But, I think that
without Cam comeback in play, that they certainly would have had more of a more rope to hang themselves. Because targeting Nick for Jack would have been a terrible freaking move. But I think his big dick energy was causing him to want to make a big move and target this guy, but the twist stays his hand. And there's just, I mean, you can't tell me, he's such an idiot and such an airhead, Jack I'm talking about, that I think he really would have gone after Nick if this stupid twist wasn't in play. Because he doesn't fear Kemi and Jessica. He was like, you know what, I'd like to make a bigger move than that, because that's the kind of dude that I am. But then he can't because of the fucking twist.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I do feel like for the first 4 weeks, it's not even really 4 weeks because it's like David was out in the first week, our first four evictions. I feel like that is the time when these big alliances tend to work. And that is the time when we're always like, when will this end? And then they turn on each other and it ends.
Doesn't always. Big Brother Canada 7.
Doesn't always. But for the big alliances, it's usually like, okay, the first few weeks, and then they're like, all we have to do is just stay together for the first 8 evictions or whatever. And like, then we'll be together in the end. And like, that's basically what they say. And then it never works out that way. So I do feel like this twist isn't the reason that they're not going to turn each other. I feel like, yeah, certainly it gives them more reasons not to, but I feel like for 3 evictions, or I guess 2 more evictions, like I don't see it as a situation where they would have turned each other. Maybe they would have lost one member from Grateful, like maybe Nick would have gone out, but like I just don't think that, like,
but Melissa, you're missing the ramifications of what happens if Nick was on the block under a Jack HOH. He's going to be running his mouth to people and letting them know things, and when if he thinks he's close to being evicted, he's going to let them know shit before he walks out the door. I mean, I'm really bummed that we were so close to Jack making a bonehead move, but the twist is going to stay his hand and force him to make what is arguably the correct move in getting Kemi out this week.
Yeah, I'm with Brent on this one. I think there's a lot of evidence to point toward them actually wanting to make a move here without the twist. First of all, they're an incredibly dysfunctional alliance. One of the more dysfunctional ones I've seen. Second, Jack actually said right away, I want to backdoor Nick. And then Jackson said, you can't because of Camp Comeback. And he said, oh, right. Third, all week long, they've been getting together as 6 shooters and like saying, we really want to take the shot at Nick and Bella. We have to wait until the twist is over. As soon as the twist ends, we're taking that shot, but not yet. And I think all of those things are really pointing toward the fact that the twist is the thing that's holding them back here. And that otherwise they'd be taking the shot.
Melissa, the other thing, too, that I really feel like is impacting things is that Jack feels invincible right now. So I do think he would have gone after Nick. Because they had HOH for an entire 2 weeks with Christy at the head of it, and that's who Jack views as arguably one of his closest allies. Then he won HOH, really blew through those questions. Then he won the power, admittedly a lame power, but still won it. And he just doesn't have anything to fear at this point. He was like Superman. He's bulletproof. And I'm not saying he should feel that way, but I'm saying that's how he does feel. Anyway, that's my I side with the robot on this one. It sucks. Sorry. I'm not willing to forsake good, interesting gameplay and blindsides and terrible moves for getting to spend a week or two with David. I'm just not. Sorry.
Well, okay. I feel like that's not the choice. The choice is get rid of both twists, and David was there in the first place. So
although with this cast, you never know.
I think another part of this that we'll talk about very soon, but I guess it's very relevant to this, so I'll bring it up now, is that Jack is going to nominate Kemi and Jess, and Kemi is the target here. And I do feel like there is a portion of this this twist that is impacting her as well, where it's like she's not actually leaving if she gets evicted. And I feel like it's taking a little bit of the fight out of her that it kind of should. Because she's not leaving, because she knows for a fact that not only is she not going to go home and she has a chance to come back into the game, she's not even leaving the house. So she can't, you know, just go bonkers and go, completely all out and throw everything at the wall and leave nothing behind, because she's got to stay there and continue to work her social game. For all she knows, it's a vote to get back into the house. So she needs to continue to play nice, just like Ovi needs to continue to play nice. And the only reason that, you know, we have any of these people not playing nice is because, and David is mostly playing nice, but he's like, I want to shake things up, but I kind of feel like I shouldn't, but I want to. And it's, I feel like that is also hindering a lot of what should be happening here, which is that, you know, when you go home, you should feel like my life is on the line and I have nothing left to lose, because otherwise, you know, I'm gone for good. But not the case with the twist.
I feel like it could have been helped by saying, I mean, I guess it depends what really is the situation, but if it's a situation where it's not a vote back into the house or whatever, like, or if it is a vote back into the house by like America, or if it's a competition, I feel like they could have said something like that along those lines. So that way the people know, like, okay, well then America's deciding I got to go crazy and make America want me back in the house. Or it's like a competition. Okay, well then these house guests have no say. I'm going to do and say whatever I want. Versus, yeah, it's the house guest vote. I need to be nice to them.
They do still need to play the game if they enter back in, though. They don't want to be bounced right back out the door. So yep. They still have to play nice.
Yeah, but I have a feeling they're going to be bounced right back out the door anyway.
Well, so exactly,
they might as well just like go for it.
I mean, I hear you, but at the same time, if I were in their position, I probably wouldn't. I'd probably be doing my best to like steal that Cliff spot from Cliff, because he's in a much better spot than me, because he's doing that better.
I mean, I also think that when I say shake it up or whatever, I don't necessarily mean like, you know, be mean and make everyone hate you or do something wild and crazy. I just mean like you can say and do certain things. I mean, you've seen the way Nicole's been operating lately, where it's like she plants little seeds and will go around and say certain things to certain people who maybe need to hear it. And then they start thinking on their own about it. And I just feel like you could do something like that, where it's like, you know, I did see so-and-so hanging out with so-and-so a little bit yesterday, and it did seem like they were talking game or something like that. And just say like, look, I'm just saying like something I saw, take it or leave it, I don't know. And using that sort of shakeup rather than just like, I'm going to bang pots and pans and go wild. You know, like I just feel like there's like little subtle things that you could do to change up the game, or at least change the dynamics of the house. And that would be something.
All right. So here's the deal. Like right before this podcast started, we were talking about whether or not we were going to rate the people who are in Camp Comeback. And Taryn was like, yeah, let's not spend a lot of time on it. Let's try to really move on. And I'm like, now we've spent a half hour basically discussing Camp Comeback at the beginning of the podcast. And I
well,
know.
Well, okay. It's mostly my fault because I just haven't gotten to talk about it at all. So
like, I haven't either.
I've been like, hey, I want to, you know, like this has been very exciting. And, you know, I was with a bunch of friends over 4th of July and I'm like wanting to talk about it, but of course nobody cares, you know. Everyone's like, what?
Yeah, I mean, and from my perspective, anytime I can get Brent and Melissa to fight, I just like to sit back and smile. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back. Today's podcast is sponsored by Lola, and for Lola we're gonna have Melissa speak about this this company here.
Yes.
Yay. A product for me. No, this is super, super cool. Basically, Lola is it's a female founded, so women for women company offering a subscription service for organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, and all natural cleansing wipes. I know that this is not your guys's favorite topic. But seriously, like it's so cool because it's a completely customizable subscription box. And this is certainly a subscription box I can get behind because, it's not super fun to go to the store and have to buy these sorts of products. I always thought I was super comfortable with this sort of thing, but then I would always find myself hiding them in my shopping cart underneath other products. And this, right. In Lola, it makes it so I don't have to do that because it sends it right to my door. And they offer all different types of things. So no matter what you need, they've got you covered. And they also look really cool. They come in this cute little box and very stylish. I don't think I've ever been this stylish with my feminine hygiene products. But also it's super cool because it's founded by women for women. And I think that that's something super important when it comes to something that is a product that women use to have.
That's very cool. I think Jessica from Big Brother would totally get behind this.
Women for women.
Yes.
Only women products. All women.
Totally Jessica. I'm here for it.
But then something else that's super cool with it is that for every purchase, they donate feminine care products to homeless shelters across the U.S., which I think is so cool.
That is great.
Yeah. So also not just for women, also for guys. I'm sure guys have that sort of experience where they have to go to the store and buy these sorts of products for their significant others. And I know I've sent my dad out on runs. And I'm sure he would not want to be doing that. He'd much rather be getting them shipped directly to the door. It's a really cool product. I'm very excited about it. I had never heard of this type of thing. So very cool. And for our listeners, they're offering a 40% off all subscriptions. And so to do that, you just have to visit mylola.com and enter Big Brother when you subscribe.
Yes. Big Brother, one word. One word, Big Brother.
Not two words. Yeah. One word. Get 40% off. Do it.
All right.
Yes. Thank you, Melissa, for giving us a wonderful ad read.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. And thank you to Lola for sponsoring the podcast.
Definitely. This is actually a subscription service I can totally get behind. So very cool.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. So we have Jack winning the HOH. He immediately wants to put up Jess and Kemi, targeting Kemi, but he talks about wanting to backdoor Nick. Jackson says, no, you shouldn't do that. Jack says, you're right. Bella is going to out the Black Widows to Jack because she is playing
Why?
That rat game.
Why?
She claims is that Jack knew already, which he didn't know the name or the specifics, but he knew about a women's alliance in general because she had already spilled it to other people. But she was like, he knew already, so I had to tell him. But, you know, it's really just been her prerogative all season long to just rat people out immediately.
I hate so much her logic on the show that was like, women alliance, like all female alliances never work out. So I'm going to go tell so-and-so about this alliance. It's like, that is why they don't work out. Like, you can't sit there and say, oh, these things never work, so I'm joining it, but I know it's not going to work out. Like, you are the reason it didn't work out. Like, this is on you. It makes
self-fulfilling prophecy.
It is. And, you know, you guys were talking the other night about, like, or I guess it was last night, about why all female alliances don't work. And I think that part of it, you guys were saying why all male alliances work and all female alliances don't typically work. And I think the issue is, like you guys said, all male alliances don't call themselves all male alliances.
Yeah.
They say like, hey, we like to work out. We like to hang out together. Like, we're good pals. Like, we'll be a bro alliance, whatever. But they don't say like, hey, we're all guys here. This will work out great. They don't like specifically point out that they all are males. Like, that's not the driving force. That's not the only thing that connects them. And that's the thing with these all female alliances. Like, they don't, they're not like BFFs or friends or anything. They're just like, hey, we're all women. Let's all join together. That's why it doesn't work. And it's frustrating because it makes it seem like girls can't work together. Girls can work together, but they shouldn't be brought together only by the sole point that because they're women. Like it makes me so annoyed.
Yeah. And again, I think it's not that like women are more likely to work with people they, you know, don't get along with as much. I think it's the pressure. I think that there's so much expectation, so much desire for an all women's alliance that there's, you know, it's already in the air. It's in their minds. They think of it more readily. And so they're more willing to just kind of throw it out there. And I think that it, because of that, the failure rate is a lot higher. And again, then it sort of becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy and there's so much pressure and so on and so forth. So, you know, that's what happens here. Nicole is pretty annoyed at Bella for ratting them out. But she does her best to hide it. So, yep. Okay. Just going to know that you suck now. Jess is going to break down over the course of the week being put up as a pawn and the fact that a woman betrayed her is very, very upsetting to her and she doesn't deserve it. She's a good person. And she's not going to throw anyone under the bus. I don't really need to continue because I think we've seen this about 1,000 times on Big Brother.
Yeah. Blaming Bella. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Like, I will give her credit for hanging tough with her lie. I think Kirsten said on the podcast that she has no choice, I guess, at this point. And I'm kind of with her. Like, I mean, if that's your new lie that, oh, I didn't start it, it was Bella. It was never me. I wasn't the cause. Go with that, I guess, even though there are three or four people in the house that know otherwise.
I really think she believes it.
Oh, I do too. Yeah. She's just like, it's like the Seinfeld thing. If you believe it enough, it's not a lie. Yeah.
I feel like this could be, I feel like this could be something that really would help Kemi's stay, would be to say, to further that story that like, no, Jess is lying and trying to blame it on Bella. Like, Jess started this whole thing. We were just there. Then Bella will be like, yeah, see? And everyone, if Nicole pushes it, everyone pushes, like, this was a Jess thing. I feel like that could help. I mean, I know that they've done that a little bit, but I feel like if that was being pushed more, I think that people would be more inclined to be like, oh, Jess is the fire starter. Jess is the problem. She keeps trying to keep these like women alliances going, you know. I don't know. I just feel like they should be pushing that more. I mean,
I just don't think they care. I think it's all about the fact that Kemi is coming after Jack, and now Jess is coming after Bella, and the fact that Bella is close to Kemi, and so they don't want Kemi in there with Bella, especially if she's coming after Jack and Jackson, and also. Jess has been melting down, and the more she melts down, even if she did start a women's alliance, it was clearly terribly done and was outed immediately. And so they feel like Kemi, and also again, Kemi is more of a threat in competitions. And so I feel like they've said it on the feeds before too, like the women's alliance thing, whatever, we don't care. It's not about that. I mean, it helps, but whatever.
Yeah. But see, here's the thing is I do think, and I agree with you, but I do think that there is a way to make it work, which is I think that Nick and Sam would listen to Bella if Bella was like, this is super important. This girl's trying to frame me. Like, we need to get her out. It's possible, I think, that without the help of like the core four people over there, that they could rally the outside people to keep Kemi.
Well, we talked about that. Like, could the Sam, Nick, Bella group get all those outside people together. The problem is that I pointed out in the podcast was Kat. I could never see joining them against Jess because she's so close to Jess and she hates Bella. And so they would have to get somebody in the six shooters. And so they'd have to essentially flip all of the six shooters because none of them are going to go out on a limb for Kemi and expose their game like that. So I feel like that's the problem.
You think Kat wouldn't recognize that's a move that's better for her game if they were to frame it as like that we're going to start something here? Like Jackson has clearly kicked you to the curb and we want to start something like, and we can do this. Like, I feel like Kat, for as like, you know, dumb as they're portraying her on the show, I do feel like she would recognize a good opportunity if it was presented to her.
She just hates Bella so much. She's been after Bella for so long. I mean, I love watching Kat, but I don't necessarily see her as that player that's like, oh, this is a great opportunity. I'm going to turn on people like Holly and Jackson and Jess. Jess is like her closest person at this point. Yeah, she'd be turning on that to join a big group of people that don't particularly like her.
Yeah, I think she's somebody like Jessica who she's not going to make a move like that and really turn on somebody unless it hits her in the face. Like the thing with Jessica was she was all women, all women, all women until she was finally betrayed by a woman. And then she's like, oh, man, like, you know, shit.
Oh, shucks.
So, I feel like that's with Kat. That's what's going to happen with Kat. She's going to continue on this, like being cool with Jackson and Holly and just hanging out with them and whatnot. And, you know, being friends with Jessica until she realizes that the people who she's closer to are probably not in her best interest. Sorry.
And also, I think another thing that this comes down to is Camp Comeback, where, you know, I think that really hinders Sam, Nick, and Bella from making a move like that, where it's like, okay, we've made this huge move just to keep Kemi, and now we have to hope and pray that one of us wins HOH so that we can take a shot at the big group, and now Jack is in Camp Oh, and Jack just came right back in again. They don't want to make that move yet. They need to wait until after Camp Comeback is over to split apart and really make that kind of huge move, I think. So I think there are a lot of things really just stacked against Kemi this week.
For real. By the way, someone just posted my address in the chat. Like, I am not offended necessarily because, like, you can send me Christmas cards if you want, but I find it amazing that somebody actually took the time to, like, snoop around my life to find my address.
I mean, that's definitely bannable content.
Oh, yeah,
there.
I banned them instantly. Yeah, I banned them. They're gone. Girl, bye. But that was weird. Yeah. Like, what is happening with the chat these days? Is this all one person? I mean, for those of you who don't know, we've had problems with the chat, like impersonators impersonating like people who are like regular patrons of the chat. And then they come into the chat and pretend to be that person. And because of the mechanisms of YouTube and Google, you can change your name and change your picture to look just like the person. So unless you're somebody like me that has a wrench, which is a moderator, you couldn't tell anybody from Jesus. So, whatever. All good.
Yeah. All right. Well, don't do that.
Don't do that. That's it. But if you do know my address, you can send me gifts and money.
All right. Well, so we've got some other stuff to talk about here.
Yes.
Some hookups, some breakups.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that.
Jackson and Kat broke up on the feeds. We saw that on the episodes. Jackson and Holly are getting closer. She looks beautiful without makeup. Jack and Sis are going to hook up. It was a very big experience for her. Nick and Bella are also going to hook up. That was a very short experience for them. And then Jack is going to tell Christy that he's crazy about her.
Uh-huh. Yeah. She's a lesbian, right? Yeah. Mm. So she says.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fun. Yeah.
This is amazing. Yes. I mean, you know, I heard you talking about it. By the way, I love your morning update today. It was very fun. My sister even texted me. She's like, I love Taryn's morning update today. It was very funny. Him like reenacting everything that was happening between the two couples. So,
yeah, I like how you had to do it by yourself.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I was like, I'm not talking about this with you, Taryn. Like, you have
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's this has been dominating the feeds, just in general. Nick is kind of, I guess, jealous of Jack and Sis. Jack and Sis are okay. They hooked up again. I made the mistake I was like, surely it's not that bad. I listened to the clip and I was like, yep, that's a lot. That's a lot of noise.
Wait. So Jack and Sis hooked up again after the first night?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I missed that. Sorry.
Yeah.
I was working last night. They hooked up again.
Yeah. In the shower.
In the shower. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought that was Bella and Nick. Didn't Bella and Nick do something in the shower? Or maybe I switched them in my head.
Yeah.
Okay,
sorry.
I don't pay attention to this stuff, people. I really don't. It's not fun to watch people like try to hide themselves having sex on the feeds, but yet they may or may not be aware that I'm watching, which is sort of creepy to me. And like the fact that Sis didn't know, she found out that feeders watch, and then she decided to have sex again.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So basically, all of her outrage the first time around and being like totally aghast, it was fake.
That's what I assumed, like, because that's why I was like, what is, I mean, she was like so worried about it, and then all of a sudden it was there. So I don't know.
Crazy.
I don't know.
Oh my God.
So that's still happening. Nick and Bella, they're still, you know, all over each other, but he's still talking about, all this other stuff with Sis, and Jack is telling Christy that he's crazy about her and that he's not actually that into Sis and he doesn't really want it to be physical, but you know, whatever, he'll end it if she wants him to. It's so messy here.
I agree with RD Clan in the chat that says, is it a porn audition? Are you guys with me when it comes to Sis? Why didn't they just cast a porn actress? I mean, they could have gotten exactly what they're getting from Sis, but the porn actress would have owned her shit a lot more than Sis is doing. Would have been a lot more feisty and fun. Just if this is what you want, just put people in the house who are used to having sex on camera, and I think they'd be a lot more fun to watch. I know a lot of people who do porn. I follow a few on Twitter.
There you go.
I think it's really funny. Someone already tweeted this, but it was like Big Brother, like the showrunners, they're always trying to find showmances. And instead this season, they've got guys just trying to ghost their girls while they're still in the house. Like, it's insane. Like, I don't understand why they it's just so, and I hate it so much. I don't even want to talk about it, if I'm being honest, because it's just like, it's just so not something I'm interested in, like, any of it. Like, I get that sometimes showmances can be fun, like, you know, if but my kind of showmance, if I have to pick a showmance, it's the showmance that they're friends and they're working together throughout the season, and then like it's like a romantic comedy where maybe they're falling for each other, we don't know, and it's like kind of cute and fun. Not this like gross stuff where you're like on camera picking up and being gross, and I'm sorry, that stuff doesn't interest me. Like, why? I'm not like a voyeur. I don't want to watch that stuff. So if I have not even watched any of the stuff that we're talking about, because I don't want to see it. I don't want to know about it. It's not something I'm interested in. And, you know, this is what we get when we have people who don't know anything about the live feeds and they don't know that they're on camera and that these things are being recorded and that you can go back and watch these things. And like, I just hate it.
Yep.
I'm reading some tweets right now about Sis and Christy talking about Jackson, and Sis saying things like, it makes me very insecure, your relationship with Jack. I never know. Christy saying, I don't have romantic feelings for him. I promote you to. Sis saying, I feel so effing stupid. So we got more of that on the way.
Yeah. Well, oh well, fun, fun, fun.
In the sun, sun, sun. So Jack is going to then look. It's I know. It's one thing after another. Jack is going to win the whackabibbity power. And
that's a new one, Taryn. Very good.
Yeah, you know, this was the chaos power. It allows him to redraw the veto picks, random redraw. And he does eventually tell Christy about it. And Christy is going to then tell Tommy about it. So Tommy knows, but Jack does not know that Tommy knows. And so, you know, it's he's like, I'm waiting to see. Waiting to see if he tells me. Jack made a mistake. Wrong person to tell.
Right. Yeah. I don't think that was a good idea. I don't know why he decided to do that. Is it just because he likes the challenge? Is that what's happening with Jack and why he decided to tell her?
I am dumbfounded. I have no idea. I really don't. It must be the thing where he's just used to always getting women. And so the one that turns him down is the only one he's interested in. I don't know. I don't know.
Gosh, craziness. I have no idea what's happening with Jack. I mean, why wouldn't he tell Jackson of all people? Maybe he doesn't think Jackson can keep a secret. I don't know. Like, I think it would have definitely been a better idea for him to tell Jackson, because Jackson just adores Jack or Mickey. Fine. I will not call him Mickey. I call him Jackson.
Yes, that's been a point of contention. People are like, hey, if they call him Mickey in the house, Taryn, you should call him Mickey, too. They don't call him Mickey in the house. They call him Jackson. They occasionally call him Mickey. Exactly. But the person who calls him Mickey the most is Julie Chen Moonves.
Thank you. Oh, my God. When I saw, when they did the HOH competition and I saw Mickey in front of him, I about threw my shoe at the television. Like, seriously? This idiot gets to pick his own nickname? Oh, God.
All right. Sam is going to win the veto. He would like for Cammy to stay, but is not willing to use it on her. And ultimately, he is not going to use the veto. We have talked a little bit about this, but Sam winning his second veto in a row that he's not going to end up using. People are starting to talk about him like he's a big competition threat. He's beat Jack at two different veto competitions now. And it's pretty unnecessary. Sure, you know, look, he won a trip to Fiji. That's all well and good. Probably his best opportunity to win anything in the game, just statistically at the very least. But still, it's lowering his chances, in my opinion, of winning the whole game here, Melissa.
Sorry, I was distracted. The chat is getting like insane right now.
Yeah, that's it happens. But yeah, Sam, I think just he doesn't need to be winning these things, and he's winning them. He's not using them, and yeah, the bill is going to come due here. He's using some credit he doesn't have.
Why he won this again? Like, I mean, I am still looking for a reason why he won it. The main thing to me is that there's a possibility that he moved himself up on the target list by doing this a significant amount. I mean, I think there's a chance that the Alliance might want to get rid of him even as far as next week. That he, like let's say somebody like Jessica wins HOH, right? Let's say she stays, she wins HOH. I think the Alliance might try to point her at somebody like Sam, because it's not a woman. It's somebody who's outside the Alliance, and it's somebody that, you know, if he remains out of the game and doesn't come back in, he's already won two vetoes. It's good riddance to an alpha player like that. So I don't know why he did this. Like, idiot.
Yeah. I think I know why. I think it's the Fiji, but I think he would have won it anyway, to be honest. I think that would have been.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think the trip to Fiji had anything to do with it. Although I'm sure on the show on Wednesday, he's going to say, oh, I wasn't going to win this veto, but a trip to Fiji? Hot damn, I'm in.
Love Island? I'm totally in.
I couldn't help myself.
I love that the married guy won the Love Island competition. Yeah. all right. So Six Shooters and Grateful are going to both decide, and obviously they are basically the same thing, just with Nick and Bella there. They're going to decide that Kemi is the one to go. They take a vote. Kemi's going to go. That's always fun feeds to just watch people vote before they vote. They're going to vote for the vote. Yeah. And so that's happening there. Just today, something happened today. Kemi finally realized that Bella is a rat. She's going off on her on the cameras.
Day of feeds. We have been asking, when is she going, Kemi? When is Kemi going to realize that Bella is selling her out? since the first night of feeds, and finally, right with her with one foot out the door, she realizes that Bella has been selling her a bill of goods. She is not her friend. I mean, maybe she thinks she is. Maybe the thing that the sad thing about it is, I think that Bella thinks that she's being a friend to Kemi, that she enjoys her company. But you can't do that at the same time while you set her game on fire with a torch. You just can't do that. And I'm glad that Bella has what's coming to her, because I can't stand her.
Yeah, that that's the thing is, like, Bella, I really liked Bella. I mean, I still like Bella just generally as like a person, whatever, she's fun, whatever. But as a game player, I absolutely get the rat floater game. I get it. I totally understand it. And I respect it. As a viable strategy. However, she's not doing it for any reason. There's no logical game reason behind what she's doing. And so that's the thing, is she's just like, oh, I'm going to tell this information to this person. I'm going to tell this information to this person, but it doesn't benefit her. And it doesn't really, there's no explanation for it. So I just feel like, I used to think, oh, she's playing that rat floater game. That's impressive. I get it. As annoying as it is, because you're like, hey, you're betraying my favorite. Oh, man. You know, if they're doing it for a reason, then you get it. And you're like, OK, I respect it. But there's just no reason.
Yeah. Bella even rats herself out. After she ratted the Black Widows out, she immediately told Nicole. She was like, hey, I ratted the Black Widows out. What are you doing?
Why would you even? Why? Like, what?
She was going to find out anyway.
Why are you doing that?
I mean, thank God Kemi finally realized that she can't tell Bella anything. I mean, it was so sad to see the other night when basically in the diary room, Kemi was like, I don't trust anybody but Bella. And it was like, oh my God, no, that's the one name you shouldn't have said.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. That's basically what's going on there. It's looking like a unanimous vote. Probably that unanimously Kemi will be going home. Unfortunately,
something will change. Something will happen. It will. We have to believe. I honestly love Kemi so much. I really don't want her to leave. I love when she talks to the cameras, and basically it's just like, what is everyone doing? This is ridiculous. And I think that she's just, I think she's so smart. I think she knows the game. And you know what? Like, a lot of the arguments she's been giving to, first of all, to Nicole, like, hey, this is what you need to say. And also arguments that she's been saying herself have been really good arguments. It sucks that she's basically talking to brick walls, but she's really smart. And she's really, I feel like if she can just make it through this week, I could see her getting really far. It sucks that she's become this target for whatever reason, but I mean, it just sucks that it just seems like she can't erase this target from her back. Because I would love to see her and David play together. They have the best read on the house, both of them. And I feel like they could do so much damage, and it would suck if, you know, I even posted this on Twitter, you know, everyone's like, but Melissa, there's Camp Comeback. Kemi could come back. Like, don't feel too bad if she goes out this week. That doesn't help, because I want David back too. I want them both in the game. So like, if Kemi gets out, now I have to choose between David and Kemi to come back in. Like, I want them both in the game, and I want them both playing.
Yeah, I'm very upset to see that Kemi is the likely person to leave here. I'm just like, I'm watching on the feeds. She's getting more and more just kind of like comfortable being there and talking to the cameras. And she's talking about how she hates when people just stand in front of the refrigerator, like, go to the refrigerator with a game plan, guys. And I'm like, yes. She hates when people like stand in the way, like on escalators and stuff. I'm like, yes, I love you. And I hate that she's going to go here, because it sucks. She was talking with David earlier today and they had a great conversation. David trying to get it into her head. Like, no, she was like, I don't want to say it's clicky here. And he was like, it's clicky. It's clicking. She's like, look, I know. I can't say it. I know what's happening here. He's like, yes, it's clicky. You can talk to me about this. And I was like, thank you.
I keep like waiting for them to realize that something's up. Like maybe when Kemi goes to the Canva comeback room and has to wear the freaking slave outfit that they've been making them wear, maybe then they'll realize that the people who have all been evicted have all been people of color. And then they might actually say something to them so that Jessica doesn't go out forth.
So that's what's going on. State of the house. Obviously, we've got Grateful, Tommy, Christy, Jaxis, Jackson, Holly, Nick, and Bella. Within that group of people, you have the six shooters. This is now a solid thing, for the most part. And it consists of all of those people minus Nick and Bella. So it's Tommy, Christy, Jaxis, Jackson, and Holly. And then within the six shooters, there's a final three. And that final three is Tommy, Christy, and Jack. And it does appear that Jack is still loyal to this three because of whatever it is that Christy has over him. So it's looking like a lot of people, and here's why that final three, or more accurately, that final two of Tommy and Christy is so solidly in a great position, is that everyone thinks that the four is Jaxis, Jackson, and Holly. That's the core four. That's what Kemi was talking to David about. Yeah. It's those four. People like Christy, she's not on board with that. And David is like, yeah, she is.
Thank you. Do not
believe her. Unfortunately, Kemi still does believe her. He wasn't really able to get through to her. But still, that four seems a lot more dangerous than the three. And that's because that three is very stealthy. And so they are in a great position right now, easily dominating the game here. Tommy and Christy, with obviously Tommy being even more protected, with Christy just being a little bit more out there. Then you have this kind of middle group, the Nick, Sam, and Bella kind of thing going on. They're working together, still kind of like, oh, we want to take a shot at Jack eventually. Eventually, we'll take that shot at Jack. Can't do it while Camp Comeback is in play. But once it ends, who knows? Maybe when we get down to nine, we're definitely not going to eight with Grateful, they say. We are not taking Sam out. Not going to do it. So that's what they're thinking there. Then you also have the Fellowship, is what I'm going to call them. I don't care if they didn't go with it.
Totally. I like it.
It's Ovi, Cliff, and Nicole, and they are the outsiders. They are working on a plan to break up this big group, and they recognize that the way to do it is to continue to widen the gap, this divide between the Nick, Sam, and Bella contingent with the rest of the Big Eight. And so they're really pushing Jess to throw Bella under the bus so that the people will be mad at Bella and so on and so forth. They're doing everything they can. They're doing everything they can here. And I love this group. I really, really want them to succeed.
Me too. I think we all are rooting for this group. Some people in it to varying degrees. But I really hope that they are able to form some sort of an insurgency in the house. Maybe they have to align themselves with Bella and Nick and Sam. Like Bella, Nick, and Sam and Cliff. Like basically, if you put all the outsiders together and the people at the bottom of Grateful, you would have a working majority. Some people that could control some of the votes in the house. But they'd have to make a clean break from them. And they can't do it while Can't Come Back is in play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the state of the house here. Black Widows, of course, is dead. Dead and dead. Gone.
Girl, bye. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Let's get to the stock watch here. Let's start rating the players. So obviously, every single week, I send out a survey where you can rate all of the players 1 to 10 based on how you think they're playing the game this week. 10 being they are Dan Gieseling. There's nobody else that can win this game. They're playing so good. 1 being that, they are terrible. They have no chance to win the game. It's over. And so we're going to rate these players. The audience is going to give a rating. We're each going to give a rating. It's going to average out to an average rating. And we're going to talk about each one of them as we go. And so we are going to rate all 16 players, all 16 of them. And that's how it's going to work in this particular version of the Stockwatch. So let's get into it. We are going to start here with our HOH, Jack. How do we feel about Jack? Now, last week, you can see here on the board, he averaged out at around 3. We really felt like his time was coming. But that was before Camp Comeback, before he won HOH, before he won this power. Things are kind of looking up for Jack, are they not, Melissa?
I feel like they are. I mean, I just went and looked at the list of our previous ratings, and I was like, well, we were really low on him. Like, I guess we really didn't expect him to become an HOH. I don't know if, like, I don't know if he's going to go super far, because I still think that people see him as a big threat. But right now, I do feel like he's pretty insulated. And I don't see a situation where he goes out next week unless something crazy happens. Fingers crossed.
Well, I mean, I like, before you give a rating, I don't mean to interrupt you, but like, I always view the ratings as a, you know, not only how well they did during the week, but also their overall chances of winning the game and how well they accomplished that task during the week. And I don't see a way that Jack necessarily can win the game. I feel like that has to be taken into account during in the ratings, but you may disagree with me.
I don't know. I guess I could see him winning the game. I don't want it to happen, and I don't hope that's what happens, but I could see a situation where he does. He clearly knows how to play nice when the DR talks to him and tells him to be nice or whatever, and he comes out and has these like civil conversations with people. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, we were all bamboozled by his intro videos and all his interviews. And I think that I could see a situation where he turns on the charm. I don't know. I don't want him to win, but I don't see a situation where he's out of the question.
Right. So you gave him a 3 last week. What score are you giving him?
Oof. I don't feel that high on him. Right. I think so. I'm going to give him a 4 because I do think his chances increase, because I really did think last week, like, oh, he's not long for this game. But now with the camp comeback twist, I do feel like he has a bit more of a chance.
David in the chat said that Sis would give Jack a big 10. Good one. Well done, David. Well done.
Yeah, I expected that you had more to say, Brent, about Sis and Jack.
Oh well, I'm sorry. I didn't know how much you wanted me to go into this. Like, I mean, look, here's the thing. I don't know why they cast her on the show. If they wanted somebody to do what she's doing, they should have just cast a porn actress. Jack himself has the energy of every guy I've ever met who thinks really highly of himself. Insofar as what she said about him, again, I say what I said on Twitter, but I'll say it a little bit more real in the chat because I have Melissa here and she can insulate me from some of the accusations that I'm being sexist. Do not trust women when it comes to evaluating the size of an experience. They are never, ever right. Trust me when I have said this. I know this to be true. And that's all I got to say about that.
Oh boy.
You know what it is? Because even straight guys they spend a lot of their day thinking about dick. They do. They think about their dick. That's what they're thinking. So when it comes to, you know, what their overall like feelings about it are, they have a realistic, you know, view of what they got, what they're working with, and what other guys got when they see them in the locker room. But when it comes to women, they don't hang around with them very much. And they're only with them when they're having sex, which isn't a whole hell of a lot of a time. And on top of that, Sis was in bed with him with the lights off under the covers. So she never even really got to see it. So you're going to tell me that you're going to believe her when it comes to shit like this, girl? No, I am not believing Sis. I don't care if she was in the shower, whatever. Is that what you wanted? Is that what you really wanted? You wanted me to go there, Taryn.
I feel like I made a mistake.
I'm just going to keep it real with you guys. Mistake. Like, I mean,
look what you've done, Taryn.
That's what I got, man, to say about, as far as my score when it comes to Jack goes. I gave him a score. Oh gosh, I forgot what I was looking at Melissa's. Oh, I gave him a 2 last week, and I'm going to give him another 2 this week. I'm going to be a harsh grader this week because I do not believe he has done anything to move forward in his goal to win the Big Brother game. In fact, I think the chain of events that have happened this week, him winning HOH, him being even cockier than usual, I feel like has hurt his chances of winning the Big Brother game. So even though he is the HOH, I'm going to give him a 2. I don't think he's changed at all since last week. And oh, not even that. The people in his alliance want to take him out. Even people like Christy, who is one of his top allies, who he told his real power to. She's like, well, you know, I really want to take a shot at him sooner than later. There is no way that a guy who looks like Jack is going to go to the end of the game. Of course, then on Big Brother Canada, we had somebody like Adam go to the end of the game, and he looks very much like Jack, at least in terms of body. But, you know, that was Big Brother Canada. This is Big Brother US. It ain't happening. It's a two.
All right. I'm actually, unfortunately, here with Melissa on this one. I gave him a three last week. I do feel like his odds have improved, and he is in a spot where nobody's really going to come for him until at least Camp Comeback ends. So I think he
which
has at least, but that's a week. That's the most dangerous week for the current HOH is the following week. So I think he has a bit of a bye there, and that's more time for him to settle back into the background, to let other people become targets, having a Nick and Bella war. If he doesn't have to be the one to take the shot at Nick and Bella, if Jackson does it for him, I could see Jackson end up becoming a bigger target. I think Jackson is in a much better spot in the game, but I have a lot more faith, unfortunately, in Jack in terms of just like their ability in the game, strategically at the very least. So I'm gonna go with a four here for Jack. I do think his odds have improved. I don't see him going anywhere in the next couple of weeks, and unfortunately, most people in that house do seem to like the guy. I don't know why. I don't know why.
Do you really see a universe where he wins the game? Any path at all?
Tommy takes him. Christy takes him, thinking that they can beat him. And then,
yeah, see, I feel like if they take him, then he's not going to win. But oh well.
Okay. I don't know. All right. Well, the audience is with Melissa and myself actually on this one. The audience gave Jack a 4 out of 10.
All right. All right, I'm a hater then, fine.
I mean, there's never been a better person to be a hater of, I think. So there you go. That was Jack. We're going to move on to his buddy, Sis. Sis got straight fours from us last week. And this week, I am personally feeling not as confident in her game here. You know, last week she was mostly just not doing anything, but she was in a good spot at least. This week she has attached herself very firmly to Jack, made herself a target. People have talked about putting her on the block. And her head is just completely not in the game. It is entirely focused on Jack's game. And so I do not feel good about Sis right now. Things could change in the future, but for right now, I am lower on Sis than I was before. I'm going to go down from my 4 to a 3, which is strange. Normally, I'd give the male and the showmance sort of thing, you know, the lower score, because they're usually the bigger target. But in this case, I just really have a hard time seeing Sis win this thing unless Jack leaves and all of a sudden her head gets in the game. But for right now, for me, it's a 3. Brent, what do you think?
Well, the headline of this podcast should be Sis goes down, because she was at a 4 last week for me, and I'm giving her a 3 this week.
She said she went down and then came back up, so who knows?
I know. Well, next week she can come back up. But right now she's down, and I'm giving her a 3. I don't like her game. Here's the thing. Normally in Big Brother, I say position is king, so even if they're playing a somewhat undesirable game, it's more passive than aggressive. I'll still give them credit for the fact that even by accident, they're in a enviable position. But I feel like you have to take into account the fact that she's not got her head in the game whatsoever. Maybe that will change, but for the purposes of this week and this rating, I think that you have to really evaluate her harshly and give her a 3.
Yeah. Melissa?
Yeah, I'm going to give her a 2, because I don't think her head's in the game. I don't think she's thinking about the game at all. And yeah, she's in a good position, but I just feel like she doesn't care, or she doesn't intend to play, and I can't respect that. So I'm disappointed, because, you know, I actually had hopes for her. I thought that it was a situation where, you know, she can lay back and sit back in the first part of the game and not really do anything and then turn it on later. But it doesn't even seem like she has any intention of doing that. So I'm not happy with her performance right now. And I feel like, you know, maybe in the future it'll change. But right now I'm not feeling confident about her position moving forward in the game. So.
Yes. All right. The audience is also pretty low on Sis. They gave her a 3 out of 10. So there you go. That's Sis has in fact gone down.
Shade.
I'm not normally this blunt with my double entendre, but when you are on the feeds using very, very blunt wording, like there's not much I can do. I have to use it. It's there. You've given me no choice.
This is like one of the few situations where, like, you know, normally they're very discreet about this type of thing, and they'll, like, you know, you'll see someone like crawl out of bed and you're like, oh, I know what happened. And it's like implied. There's like a lot of implications, you know, maybe there's some like noise. This is like full on talking about it, full on like bragging about it. And what else are we supposed to do?
Yes.
I don't want to talk about it, but.
And I would never go this far. I would never like go this personally for myself. I would never go this far with somebody that's trying to like keep, you know, I would not talk about their intimate details, but she is describing them and saying, I wish I could say more. What are you doing to me?
Yeah, this is not on us being like, oh, we're going to talk about something that's super embarrassing for someone. Like, this is something that. Yeah.
Same thing goes for Nick. Yeah. What are you doing?
Same thing goes for all of them.
Speaking of, let's talk about Nick's game. Nick's game. All right. So last week I was pretty high on Nick. I gave him a 6. I was higher on him than most other people here. And probably a mistake. If not for Camp Comeback, I think we might be seeing a Nick eviction this week. So, you know, saved, but by the grace of Grodner. And ultimately, it's not looking good. He is not in the best position in the world. That said, I do think that Camp Comeback does help him. I probably should have given Nick like a 4 out of 10 last week. And I think that Camp Comeback prevents him from dropping lower than a 4. I might even go up to a 5, but I think I'm going to stick with a 4 for Nick here. Unfortunately, I do think that he was in a good spot, but he has completely just let his relationships fall by the wayside. He has spent all of his time with either Sam or Bella or talking about Sis, and it's getting bad. He has let, in particular, the main thing that I don't like about Nick's game now, as opposed to last week, is his relationship with Tommy is almost non-existent this week.
Right.
You need to maintain your relationships, and Tommy is the most important person for him to maintain. Now, Tommy, I think, could go back to Nick whenever he wants, but Nick does not have that luxury. If he finds himself on the out and he goes back to Tommy after not speaking to him for a week, Tommy's going to be like, sorry, who are you?
Did we meet?
Yeah. So not looking great for Nick from my point of view. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I'm disappointed in his game as well. I mean, I just feel like I'm disappointed in everybody, but I'm disappointed in his game this week. And so, like, here's the thing is he almost got backdoored. So that's, you know, brings his score down. But the Camp Comeback thing is here, so that brings the score back up. So I'm just staying neutral on him this week, and I'm going to keep my score at a 4.
All right. Brent, what are your thoughts?
I gave him a 3 last week. I was the lowest on everybody when it came to Nick, and primarily because I said he had a messy game. I felt like it was really messy. What I didn't realize is not only is his game messy, but he's totally flipping girl crazy. Like, my mom talked about straight boys like this when I was younger. Like, she would, like, we would know, like, my cousin or somebody would just go completely bonkers for somebody of the opposite sex, and she's like, oh, he's girl crazy. It'll happen to you one time, Brent. You know, you'll hopefully you'll understand that you shouldn't totally lose your head when it comes to dating a girl. But no, Nick doesn't understand that. He is completely and utterly girl crazy. I think it is amazing to me that somebody like him, like with that haircut, would never get the time of day from somebody like Annalise or Bella, probably on the street. But because he's trapped in a house with them and there's only so many people to choose from, even Bella acknowledges, like, well, it's him or nobody. So, yep, you know, So that's not a big criticism of his game, but it is a criticism of his game from the standpoint that that's all he seems to care about is women. And not only that, it makes him seem disloyal when he's with Bella and he's always talking about Sis. It's like, well, who are you with then? And why are you with Bella if you really want to be with Sis? And are you just using her? So yeah. And the other thing too is that people gave him some certain secrets. Kimmy told Bella and Bella told Nick about the girls thing. And then he went and ratted that out. I know that Bella also ratted that out, but basically I'm holding both of them accountable at this point. And I think he's done nothing to improve his score. So I'm going to give him another 3.
All right, there you go. Last week, the audience gave Nick a 5. This week, they have also gone down to a 4. So there you go.
So what's his overall score?
It looks like Melissa, did you give your rating?
Yeah, I said I was keeping him at a 4.
Okay. I think it's just in the, you gave him a 3, right, Brent?
I did. Yeah.
All right. So it's going to be at a 4 here for Nick.
I see it now.
Yes. All right. So let's move on to Nick's, part-time, very quick partner in crime here. Bella, who last week we were kind of in the middle on. It gave her a 5. Again, I felt good about the Nick and Bella position. I felt like the HOH could have gone a different way, and then they would have been in a dominant position where Jack was targeted. But unfortunately, things did not break that way. Bella has continued to deteriorate game-wise, in my opinion. So I'm definitely going to be giving her a lower score than I did previously. But Brent, we'll start with you.
Oh, good. Let's start with me. 1. I'm going to give her a 1. I can't stand this woman. What is she doing? This is terrible. Like, if Melissa said at the beginning of the podcast, you're just telling other people information for why? For the heck of it. You don't even know why you're telling people this information. You just can't keep a flipping secret. Not only that, your alliance wants to target you. There are people outside the alliance like Kat who wants to target you. And even if you were by the grace of God himself to get to the end of the game, I don't even think people like you enough to give you the money. So I'm going to give you a 1. You can't win the game. Girl, bye.
Oh, boy. Melissa, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm going to give Bella. Oh, I know. It's just so disappointing. I was really excited about her game last week. So I'm going to definitely give a lower score to Bella just because I feel like there isn't any logic behind her moves. She seems to be one of those people that like feeds off of being the person with information, like being the person who can tell you something and you want to hear what she has to say. And I feel like I know people like that. Like, you know, there are people who are like, oh, I have a story for you. And they like want to tell it. And I get the sense that that's what she feeds off of. And that's great. But no, it's not, because she's giving away information that she shouldn't be giving away. If it was all information that was like, oh, I'm going to give you a little tidbit here and there that's all beneficial to me, then that's fine. None of it is beneficial to her or any of her allies or any of the people who trusted her. I mean, Kemi now doesn't trust her at all. And she used to have such a strong ally in Kemi. And she's also letting Kemi go out the door. So it's not good for her. So I'm going to give Bella, I was out of 5. And now I'm going to give Bella, I'm going to give Bella a 3.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's amazing to me. I just thought of something. It's amazing that Bella can't keep a secret for longer than 45 seconds, which is the same amount of time that Nick lasted with her. So, yeah. They deserve each other.
All right. I can tell you that the audience also gave Bella a 3. I am personally torn between a 3 and a 4, mostly because with Camp Comeback, I feel like there is some buffer time. Things can change in the next few weeks. The fact that she's not eminently in danger gives me some hope, I guess I would call it, that she can turn things around a little bit. I'm hesitant to give her a 3. I just feel like there are a couple of people that are just like the ones that are almost definitely going home. And I feel like she's probably not one of them. And for that reason alone, I do think I'm going to go with a 4 for Bella. I don't have a ton of confidence in her moving forward, but there is still something there. She's willing to, you know, go to people and make moves. She still has a solid group behind her in Nick and in Sam, who can certainly win a lot of competitions. So, I'm gonna give her a 4. I think that's like a for now kind of rating. Like, if she is still in the position she's in right now in a couple of weeks, then she's dropping down real low because she's gonna be in trouble.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so that's gonna land Bella at a 3 in total. Holly, let's talk about Holly, aka Beth.
I'm disappointed by Holly as well. Ugh, I just feel like every single person, like, we're gonna
can we talk about somebody who we're not disappointed by?
I know,
by.
Seriously, like, when can we find someone that we're not
disappointed? I didn't choose the order. Blame Alexandria.
Oh god, it's like, literally, Holly is disappointing me because I feel like she's focusing more on the showmance thing too. I don't even know. I mean, like you said earlier, I think it was earlier on the morning update, you said she was in a great position and now she's in a not good position, all because of this showmancy thing where she was basically hidden by Kat and Jackson being the couple. And Holly was, you know, on the side. However, Jackson really liked Holly, so Jackson would protect Holly, but she wasn't seen as being part of that couple. And it was like perfect positioning. And I was like, man, this girl, she understands it. And she's not getting sucked into like the showmancy type thing. But now she's in a really, I mean, not a really bad position because she's still within that core 4 and all that sort of stuff. But she's in a worse position than she was because now she's not insulated. She's not protected. People will start to see her and Jackson as like, oh, this is a twosome. We need to get rid of one of them. And I feel like Jackson is better insulated. So I'm not happy about Holly this week. However, I'm not fully ready to you know, say, ah, she's done for. But I do think she's gone down in the ratings. So I'm going to give her a 5.
Yes, I think a 5 is appropriate for Holly. I'm also going to give her a 5. She was in a great spot. That spot it's not as great anymore. As you mentioned, I think her head is distracted with Jackson, with what's happening there. And Jackson got injured, so she's no longer even super protected by the fact that she's associated with Jackson. She's not even that much, you know, smaller on the target scale as he is now that he is injured. And she, I also feel like she has not been branching out as much as she was in the first week. She is really focusing on Sis and on a little bit Christy and on Jackson. And I really don't see her talking with other people, too much at all. And that's not good. I don't like it. I do still think that she's in one of the better positions in the house in general, but not as good as it was before. So unfortunately, Holly is going to drop down to a 5 for me. Brent, what do you think?
Yes, it's a 5 for me as well, for the reasons that you guys stated. Even the person that she's in a showmance with was injured, and I didn't see on today on the feeds, how is his ankle doing? It seems to be like a little bit better.
He's still limping around. I mean, Holly is telling him you need to see a doctor to make sure that it's all good, because if it sets in the wrong place, then you're kind of screwed. And he's like, I don't know. And Cliff seems to think, he's like, I think it's kind of fine. I think you'll be all right. So differing opinions, but he seems to be getting better. He's still limping, but you know, for all we know, he could just be really messing himself up.
Yeah, so it's a 5. I agree with you guys. Not much to say. I mean, the thing about her is that I feel like that she does have the capability to rise and to play a better game. But the thing that we decided at the beginning of the season about how we're going to evaluate these scores is that, you know, 6 and higher gets a consistency bonus for being on the good side of things. And do I feel more negatively or more positively about Holly's game? I'm sorry, but I feel more negatively. So there's no way I can give her anywhere near a positive score at this point. So I feel like it has to be a 5.
Yes. All right. The audience is actually even lower than us on Holly. The audience gave Holly a 4. I wonder if they just got confused Looking for Beth. 4-4 for Holly there. Next up is, in fact, Jackson. We'll talk about Jackson here. Jackson, I gave a 6 last week. I'm actually going to stay at a 6 this week with Jackson. I like his position. Socially, he is good. He is a hateful little monster at many times in the house, but for whatever reason, people do love him in the house. Even Kat, who was definitely annoyed by him when he broke up with her, is still kind of going back and talking a lot with Jackson and being very, you know, cordial and whatnot. And he got injured. That's good. That's good for Jackson. Jack is a bigger target. All of these things. Like I said, I'm not confident in his strategic ability. I think he's far too, like, just loyal. He's kind of like puppy dog eyes with Jack. He just loves Jack so much. And I think that's going to be his downfall. But for right now, his position is good. His social game is good. I feel like I said this before when I was talking with Donnie. I feel like he's the Caleb of the season.
And
things could work out well for him if he stays in this spot.
Yeah, I think that sort of blind loyalty and like he's a lovable, stupid idiot can work in your favor. Like Caleb would have won Big Brother 16 if he would have gotten to the end of the game, or arguably would have had a chance. And that's why they evicted him. I think likewise with somebody like Jackson, it's possible for him to turn his game around. If the alliance breaks up, Jack goes home, he's injured a little bit and continues to play that up, or, you know, that's the thing. Does he know enough to play that up, or is he going to act like, nah, I'm good, I'm fine, don't worry about me? I wonder about that, but I do enjoy him overall from a social game standpoint, even if he is a total piece of shit. And I have to call him out for some of the racially charged things that he said. But I gave him a 5 last week and I'm going to give him a 5 this week. I just can't bring myself to give him yet a positive score.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with everything you guys said, and I'm going to stick with my 5 as well there. I mean, I think I would have gone down on his score this week, just because I do feel like he put himself in this weird position in regards to the showmances and everything when he really didn't have to do that. And I'm not a big fan. But however, with this injury, I do think this could go really well for him. I mean, obviously, if he plays it off like it's nothing and he heals up next week or whatever, then maybe this will change. But I mean, this could be his Christmas moment. And I think that could go really well for him and take him pretty far, because, you know, what good is an injured player going to do when it comes to competing against them? Like, I mean,
win a sprinting competition.
Right. Win a race, of course. The classic injured move. But yeah, so I just feel the same about his positioning, and so I'm going to give him a 5.
All right. Well, big surprise. The audience is not fond of Jackson. Gave Jackson a 4, and let me tell you, it was a close one. They almost gave him a 3. So audience not too fond of Jackson, and can't say I blame him.
Yeah, the thing about Jackson, just from a personal standpoint, is I did feel good about the fact that he felt remorse, but I almost felt remorse like the remorse was coming from the fact that he got caught, not that he actually did something wrong. So that was really annoying me.
Well, I think it's, again, a situation where it looks good in comparison to Jack, who shows no remorse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's still bad, right? Like, it's just like what you'd like under normal circumstances, you just expect this is bad and it is the bad thing. But then you have Jack, who is even worse. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, my God. Speaking of, just, you know, because we were talking about twists earlier, but the Jackson and Jack have been very, very mean to David. Something that we haven't talked about on the show yet is in particular, I think the worst thing that's happened thus far, Jack imitating David and his walk on the feeds. This is something that was incredibly offensive, and people have been very upset with him about, you know, this is, of course, we wish we didn't have to talk about this stuff because we wish that we had better people in the house, but he, you walked it. It was very offensive, and Jack is a terrible person.
And Jack is a terrible person. Well, it's true. And also all this hate towards David when he's literally been like an absolute saint in the house. I mean, he like cooks, he cleans, he's nice, he's friendly, he wants to start games of cornhole or whatever. And I don't understand how anyone could hate him or have any vitriol towards him. He is like such a sweet, nice guy. And it begs the question of like, well, what is it then? You know, like what is the reason that they don't like him? Because it's not the way he acts, it's not the way he talks, it's not the way he, you know, gets along with people. Like, it's not that. So like, well, what is it then? Like, why? And that's what makes me upset about, like so upset about this, is that it's like, it's not deserved at all. It's horrible. And it's just, it makes no sense to me. And I hate it so much. And I just want to punch myself in the face, little naive Melissa, who said we won't have any TMZ article written about this cast. I like literally want to punch myself in the face. I want to go back and erase that because I was such a moron. Like, I mean, why did I think we'd have nice people on this TV show? Why?
The thing that's really irritating to me is that, you know, David had been in the house for like 3 hours before, and then he comes back into the house, and within an hour or two, when people have alone time, they're already completely bagging on him. It's like a demonization of him to the point where it's a stereotype. They're trying to stereotype him. They even said this thing Jackson did about, well, oh, you know, I see how he's been looking at the women. He's gonna be running a train on them, which of course is the stereotype of the black male predator. If you guys don't understand that that's racist, then I can't fucking help you.
Yeah, really. And I think that's the problem, is that I don't think they understand it either. I think it's exposing sides of themselves that they aren't even aware are offensive, and that's why they're like, oh, they're spinning it into a race thing. Like I think that they, I don't think they even understand how they're being.
Right. Well, the thing is, like, it's
except implicit. They've been told and they refuse to hear it.
It's That's implicit bias. It's implicit racism. It's implicit. It doesn't have to be explicit to be awful and terrible and totally inappropriate. And it's really awful. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, you're, even if they come out of the house and we're like, oh, you know, all this stuff, all this race stuff, you know, whatever, they're going to say like, well, it wasn't, because I know myself and I know that wasn't my intention. It's like, but then where did it come from? Like, what else could it be? It's like, you have to look inside yourself and see, you know, why do I feel this way? Why was I saying those things, like, about this particular person? And not only that, like, these particular people. And that is where it gets so wrong and so sour. And it's been a really tough season to watch in regards to that sort of stuff. It's like, I mean, why? Okay. Okay. I'm going to talk myself into circles. I really am.
Well, I have a question. Go ahead, Taryn.
Well, I think that, like, if there's anything positive that we can spin off of this, it's that it hopefully can be a teaching moment for anybody that hears about these things and says, why is that racist? Why is that bad? And hopefully you can learn why those things are bad, even if you don't intend for it to be bad. There are a lot of things, and you're seeing the result here, the result of these implicit biases, which are separating the people of color from the white people in the House, and they are being targeted and talked about and all of these things. You know, it's not what you want to have as a teaching moment, but hopefully if there's anything positive that we can spin from it, it's that. And it's something that I think everybody can learn from, hopefully.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's true, though. It's like, I mean, why is their alliance solely made up of the non-minorities besides Bella? And then, oh, wait, we all hate Bella. We all hate her. Like, I mean, why?
But they don't hate her. That's the thing. Yeah.
That's the thing is, like, why, though? Like, it's like, it's like you would think that if you were in that house, you'd look around and be like, oh, why do I feel like I'm gravitating more towards the people who like have my same skin color and all that sort of stuff? It's like you should be thinking about that sort of thing if that's the case. And, you know, I'll even admit that, like, you know, when I forgot, I think Brent said it or someone said it on the show, they were like, think about if you went, maybe Brent didn't say it, so I don't want to like put this in his mouth, but they said, someone said something like, think about if, like, me, for example, I went into a house with all minorities and I was the only white person in the house. Like, would I be able to have to relate to everyone in the house in the exact, like, in that sort of way? Like, would I feel isolated? And like, possibly I would. Like, I feel like I would. And now, and it's like, it makes you think like that. Put yourself in other people's shoes. Like, see what, if the shoe were on the other foot, what, how would you feel? Like, would you be able to fully relate to everyone in the house? Like, I mean, everyone has different experiences, and I know I'm talking in circles, I know, but it's okay. Just,
well, here's the thing. I want to say a couple things. Here's the thing. I think it's really cool to listen to people like Erica from Big Brother Canada, you know, who competed on last season. You know, the one who was evicted by the twist who we all got really sad about, the lesbian. I mean, I'm trying to, like, I can't remember her last name. Sorry, I can't remember her last name. So I'm trying to find a way, because I see your mind like racing, like, which Erica is he talking about? Erica from last season.
I thought you, for a second, I thought you were talking BBUS Erica. And I was
Big Brother Canada.
Yeah, I thought so too. That was like my first thought. I was like,
she said on Twitter that she had to confront some of her own innate prejudices because she started dating a black woman. And she didn't realize like how many innate prejudices were inside of her until she did that. And then she had to confront them. I thought that was very brave of her to say. The other thing that I wanted to acknowledge was that, or ask maybe, is, do you guys think that this season is worse than Big Brother 15? Because in Big Brother 15, the racism was so explicit that it forced the show to confront it. They had to confront it because everybody was talking about it and replaying clips. The racism here is much more implicit and much more subtle. It is not so obvious to the naked eye when you just hear a soundbite. So people are able to wave it away and not have to talk about it. And I feel like in some ways that this season is worse because it lets people off the hook without ever having to acknowledge the racism in the first place. And it lets them hide behind, oh, it was taken out of context, I didn't mean it that way, it's just the Big Brother game. Whereas there was no place for Aaron to hide during Big Brother 15 when Julie Chen is calling her to the carpet during an interview. So, well, I do feel like this season is worse.
What I will say to that is that I remember during Big Brother 15, it was a while before the show addressed it. There was a long time beforehand where people were like, when are they going to address this? This is getting really bad. And it wasn't until people started having conversations in the house and it became a thing in the house itself that the players were talking about that it became a part of the show. And so I imagine that the same will be true of this season, that if the players start talking about it, like, well, I mean, like I said, we had that conversation with Kemi and David where it kind of felt like they were beating around the bush a little bit. Like, I know what's happening here, David. I don't want to say anything. Like, it kind of felt like maybe they would talk about it. Maybe they will eventually. And at that point, hopefully it will be brought into the show.
I'm hoping. Did you see that Danielle from Big Brother Over the Top tweeted about this and said that she was out on the show because of the outdated casting that they do on the show, where they cast 12 white people on the show, a few people of color, and call that diversity. So I really feel like that it just needs, CBS as a whole and the Big Brother show, I love them. I'm sure they're doing their best, but they need an overhaul as far as the casting process. Mm-hmm. If you put, you know, a few white people, a few brown people on the show, a few black people on the show, a few Asian people on the show, let's see what happens then. Let's see what happens in a real diverse cast. Mm-hmm. I would love to see that, but I don't know that they would necessarily.
Yeah, and honestly, just even just a more aware cast. I mean, you recall Big Brother Celebrity One, where they immediately knew the optics of targeting Omarosa. They were aware of these things. They were conscious of them and worked to make sure that they were confronting their own biases about things and making sure that they were not doing anything untoward. These people have no clue about any of this, clearly, because they are laughing along and nobody is talking about it. And, you know, like all of these things. And so, you know, that's why, like, when I say hopefully this turns into a teaching moment, like, it does need to make the show first.
It does need to make the show. I will also say, and, you know, look, it doesn't give me any pleasure whatsoever to call this out, but I do have to call our boy Cliff to the carpet just a little bit, because I didn't love what he had to say about David. He hadn't even really met him very much, and already he is talking to us, and it's not about the game, because he's talking to us on camera and he's totally by himself. That he doesn't trust David. He thinks there's something aggressive about him. I can't remember his exact words, but it didn't feel great to me. I'm just saying that it felt a little charged, and I really wish he gets to know David and enjoys his company better, because I feel like Jack and Jackson have gotten to know David a little bit through like the working out, and they're like, already he's kind of a nice guy. Like, mm-hmm. 3 days ago, they were saying he looks right into your soul and can destroy it with his eyes. But now they're like, oh, he's pretty cool now that I got to know him. I'm hoping the same thing happens with Cliff as well.
Yes, I do as well. You know, and based on things that Cliff was saying earlier in the season, I am hopeful that he is the kind of player that would come out of the house. Yes. And when asked about it, would be like, oh, my God, you're right. I'm sorry. All of these things. I would hope. Because it wasn't great. I do think that I don't want to lump him in with the other things. This is a lot more specific to David. It's still not great, but it's not in the context of all of the other things that are happening around Jack and Jackson. But also, you know, like anybody else in this house, I think he is also complicit in the sense that he is laughing along, and he is, with the worst stuff, but with.
Right. I had more of a problem with what Cliff said by himself to the camera, because I was like, so that's how you really feel. The thing where he was like laughing along with Jackson and like being like, oh, there's pee on the seat. There hasn't been pee on the seat since we got here. It must be David. I'm going to pee on the seat. And Cliff was like, yeah, I might pee on the seat too. Even though that is terrible, I can at least see that in the context of he's trying to be one of the good old boys in the house and trying to work his way in. I get that. It's something that happens in Big Brother that we all hate, where people bag on the person who's out of the game or getting ready to walk out of the game. We've never had a context like this where somebody was out of the game and still staying in the house. So I understood that. I feel like I can get past that more than what he said by in the cameras by himself. And I'm not trying to call him out specifically, but I feel like I must. Because people come to me on Twitter and they're like, oh, you don't call out Cliff because he's a rapper. You're hypocrites over there. No, bitch, we're not. I own my shit and I'll call him out just like the rest of these people. But I do feel like at this point we have bigger fish to fry, and Cliff is not one of them.
Yes. And you know, I'm not an arbiter on this issue at all. But personally, I do like to wait a little bit longer until I see more, like just more of it. You know, I feel like I've seen a little bit that, you know, he is also like a new guy that came into the game and kind of all of this stuff. So, you know, that would be my own personal opinion, but that is my own personal opinion, and certainly not even really that relevant to anybody else's opinion, especially who are more qualified than me to address that sort of thing. But again, in many ways, like the showmances in the house, We got to talk about this stuff. It's part of the game. And I understand that there are some people that are like, hey, why are we spending so much time on this? So on and so forth. But like, this is what it is. This is what happens. This is people stuck in a house. And this is part of the dynamics when we're talking about why certain people are on the outs and why this big group of people are in the in. It's as David and Kemi said, a clicky house. Yeah. So and this is absolutely a part of it. It really is. So
anyway, yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. I appreciate that. I like it that it was you who brought it up and not me. Because people are like, oh, Brent's just doing it again. So always Brent, blah, blah, blah. Fuck off.
I hope that people can respect that. Like when I do talk about these things, it's because, you know, I mean them and you know, it's, I really do, you know, see something here that I do not like. All right. So next up, let's get back to the ratings.
Sorry. Where were we?
Back to the ratings. Let's talk about Kat. Let's talk about Kat.
Okay. Let's talk about Kat. There's somebody we all like. How you doing, Kat?
Yeah, Melissa, what are your thoughts on Kat?
I like Kat a lot. I think she's super fun to watch. I don't know how I feel about her game sense, but I do think she's really fun to watch. And I do think that, you know, it's possible that she stays a little longer than we initially thought. I mean, I think there was a possibility that she was to leave last week and she didn't. And I do feel like, you know, if you survive the first eviction or two, then you are way more likely to be forgotten about. So I could see her sticking around a little bit longer than we thought. So I'm going to give her. I also don't feel like, I'm looking at my other ratings and I'm seeing that, like, I gave Bella a 3, and I don't feel like, maybe she's not in as good a position as Bella, but she's not actively sabotaging herself like Bella is. So I'm going to give Catherine a 4.
Okay. Brent, what do you think?
I gave her a 2 last week. She's off the block now, and she's not going to be evicted this week. I do think that if she got to the end of the game, she could actually win. Like, in some universe where she got to the end of the game, could she win? I think she probably could. I think she is light and cheery, and I think that, like, you enjoy that when you're in the house. I think the people in the house see that as well. I'm not going to go overboard with this, though. She was a 2 last week. I still feel like, on balance, she probably gets a bad score for me. We determined before this season that 1s, 2s, and 3s were the bad scores. 6s and above were the good scores. And I still feel like I don't like her game because she could be evicted as soon as next week. She is on the list, people. Unless the house breaks up, which it could. But unless it breaks up, she's going to be evicted within the next 2 weeks. And so I feel like I can only give her a little bit of a bump, but I enjoy her personally immensely. So it's a 3 for me.
All right. I was actually the highest on Kat last week at a 3, and I am inclined to go down. I actually feel worse about her position. I like her a lot more, but I feel worse about her position than I did last week, where I felt like, you know, people were talking about using her as a pawn for a long time. And she was in the big group of people, and Jackson hadn't broken up with her yet, and Jackson hadn't talked about wanting her gone yet. And so I felt like there were not a lot of people like, when would you ever want to get rid of Kat? And unfortunately, the question was immediately answered for me, like, this next week. Like, that's when they want to get rid of Kat. And I feel like she is one of 2 people that is almost definitely going home next week. And and I just, so right now, I do feel worse about where she is. I do think that if she survives the next couple of weeks, which is really treacherous territory for her, I think that she can come back around and get into that sort of position where, who wants to waste a week on Kat? I hope that she gets there. But for right now, I am going to stick with, I'm going to go down to a 2 on Kat. I could see her leaving next week, and it's not good.
I hear you.
The audience agrees with Melissa. The audience wants that 4 for Kat, which shouldn't be too surprising there. I think the audience does their best to be, you know, objective. But, you know, sometimes you like the person. I don't know. Maybe I'm the wrong one.
Yeah, Taryn. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. It was tough to rate her because, you know, I like her and I could see a situation where she goes pretty far, but I could also see a situation where she gets out next week because they're like, ah, whatever. It's the last week of the, you know, the camp comeback. Let's just like get out someone easy. She's not going to come back, or maybe she will. And if she does, she's not going to be mad. Like, boom, done.
Yeah. I'm envisioning the scenario next week where it's Kat versus Jess on the block and Jess is still breaking down and they're like, Jess is totally worthless in this game. Why are we bothering to take her out? Jackson is really pushing to get rid of Kat because he does not want to deal with her. And so they go, you know what?
Yeah.
Sorry, Kat.
I feel like Kat's been a little bit better when it comes to Jackson, and maybe a few more days of her being chill and not worrying about him so much will cause Jackson to not worry about her so much. By the way, Taryn, I have one thing to say to you about the two that you're giving Kat. Why are you bitches conspiring against her?
That was a great segment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize like, she said it that many times.
Right. Like, I know that
together you're like, whoa.
I know that people are like, oh my God, this is the thing she's going to have on a t-shirt when she comes out of the house. You know what? Let her. I enjoy her. She's amazing. I would buy a t-shirt. Okay. Oh, gosh. Yes. Sorry, Melissa, you went robot there for a second. I'd buy anything that Kat puts on freaking Instagram.
Well, let her have a catchphrase. I like it.
Yes, let her have it. That's all she has, people. Come on.
That's all she has.
Yeah, people are, look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. I'm doing my best. I'll give her a better rating next week if she's still in the game.
So I have a question, just insofar, and I don't mean to get into the weeds because I know you don't like that, but just tolerate me for like 15 seconds. So overall, her rating is a 3. Last week, she was a 2, but she's been consistently bad because she's still 3 and below. So doesn't she get hit with the penalty for sucking so badly still?
Yeah, so she went up, but I think going down, like it'll average out.
Wash out.
Around. Yeah.
Yeah. She went up a dollar, but then because she's still horrible, she gets hit with a penalty. So she's still at $2.
Probably.
I think that's what just happened. Okay.
She'll break out of it someday.
Yes. Yes, right.
Let's talk about Tommy. Tommy last week got an 8. He got 8s from myself, Brent, and the audience. Melissa was the lowest on Tommy at a 7. Melissa, have you gone up on Tommy? Stayed the same? What do you think?
I feel really good about Tommy because I forgot about Tommy this week. And I feel like in the initial week, that's what you need to be doing is making us not talk about you. And so I was like, who am I forgetting in the house? Oh, Tommy, duh. So I feel like he is doing a great job on that. So because of that, I'm going to increase my rating to an 8.
There you go.
Yeah, I was in an 8 last week. I don't feel like we have enough information to effectively score him a 9. I mean, I guess you can make that argument, but I feel like there's a lot of room to go. So, but I don't feel worse about his game. In fact, I'm more amazed by with all of these crazy and somewhat terrible personalities in the house, he's been able to keep his head above him and realize like it sucks that he's with the people that he's with. Like I would much rather him be on the other side of the house, but this is where he is, and you know, if he wants to take these people to the end of the game, he'll definitely win against them, I would say. So I feel great. And we again, who of the 16 people that are in the house, who have we talked about the least? It's Tommy. Tommy, Tommy, Tommy. That is so great that he is so quiet. Like sometimes I forget that he's there. I know that Dick is on Twitter, Evil Dick I'm talking about, who's, you know, like, I can't stand this guy, but I feel like he's been tolerable on the show. Like, I enjoy Tommy in small doses, and I haven't had to. Maybe it might have something to do with the fact that when he's on a feed, I usually switch. So I enjoy Tommy, so it's an 8.
Yes, I agree. You know, Tommy is still by far in the best position in the game, in my opinion. He is doing a very good job. I still haven't seen the quality there of a great player.
I see
he's in a fantastic spot. I see ideas come from him that I love. He's clearly very intelligent. He's clearly very social. He's very liked. He's in a fantastic spot. I just haven't seen him in the driver's seat yet. And so I do not feel comfortable going up to a nine.
I don't mean to stop you there, but I'm glad he's not in the driver's seat though at this point. Like, I would rather him be in the Ethan Zahn role of being like the assistant coach. Like, I'm glad he is the assistant coach right now, or the sidecar. You know what I mean?
Exactly. It's like the real best players should look like this at the start, but then at the same time, I don't know if it's because he's doing it on purpose or if this is just all we'll ever see.
Right.
We'll eventually see. For now, he's doing what he needs to do. And so I'm going to stay at an eight. If we later find out that Tommy is completely capable of being in the driver's seat and controlling all the action, and he was just intentionally lying low, then, I'll retroactively say, you know what? It should have been a 10. We just didn't have enough information.
Right. That's what I said. Yeah.
Yeah.
We still have enough information right now.
But yes, for now. So for now, it's going to stick to an eight here. The audience actually went down on Tommy from last week. They went down to a 7 from their previous 8. Not as much goodwill for Tommy this week.
Yeah. It's all the people he's aligned with. Sorry.
Probably. I mean, the fact that he might be the reason that we do see Jack make a deep run in the game is not super fun.
Not super fun. God.
All right. So let's talk about Christy. Christy, I gave her a 5 last week. Brent, you were lowest at a 3. How do you feel about Christy now?
Better. I feel better about her this week. I was vacillating between a 4 and a 5. Both of them are neutral scores, but I gave her a decidedly negative score last week in a 3, but negative by our standards, I mean. And I feel like I have written down my score, but I'm like, do I really want to give her that? Do I really feel like I, in fact, I do. I'm going to give her the 5. And the reason that's 5 is what I have written down. The reason why I'm going to give her a 5 is because I do feel like her relationship with Tommy, having a preset alliance coming into the house, is going to continue to pay dividends. I think that they can really run this game if they want to. They are so close and nobody knows it. I mean, the one thing that Holly said the other day where I enjoy that it's me, you, and Jackson and Jack and the two gays. Like, girl, like, come on. Like, is that really how you see them, or could you not say their names? But I mean, there is a part of me that's like, I kind of enjoy the fact that she's saying that from a game standpoint, like she's not really assigning identity to them. I'm trying to make this sound tolerable. My point is that they are both of them, Tommy and Christy, really more invisible than they were last week. Christy specifically, because she was HOH last week and it was all about Christy and all of her mood swings. And now that she's not in power, I do feel like that she's a lot more quiet and a lot more zen. And does she say racially charged things occasionally that she shouldn't say? Yeah, but this is the game and I'm evaluating her game. And I feel like within the context of the game, she's doing okay.
Yeah.
So it's a 5.
Yeah. I'm going to give her a 5 as well, because for the same reasons, specifically that, she was HOH last week, and that's the longest HOH reign basically in the game is the first week. And, you know, that can make or break someone. And, you know, it didn't quite make her, but it didn't quite break her either. And I feel like even though she had kind of a rough week, she's kind of been able to blend back in a little bit. And I don't think that she's first target, second target, whatever. I feel like there are people in front of her and she's a little bit inflated, and especially with this Tommy side alliance. So I'm giving her the 5.
Yes, Christy is the one I feel one of the ones I feel like I got right last week. And I'm going to maintain that I'm a little bit higher on Christy than everyone else. People coming up to the 5 level, I'm going to go up from a 5 to a 6 for Christy. Personally, I feel like she did exactly what I don't want to say I wanted her to do, because she drives me crazy sometimes, but strategically what I wanted her to do to be good in the game, which was that she has blended back into the background a bit. She is not as messy as she was. She still has people like Kemi thinking that she's anti-Jack. Meanwhile, Jack is like tripping over himself to, you know, please her. And so I feel like she's in a great spot. I feel like she is in the driver's seat of the season right now. And I think that's exactly where Tommy wants her to be, because he's controlling her puppet strings. And so eventually, I think people are going to recognize that, you know, if Jack leaves, or even if Jack doesn't leave, I think eventually people are going to realize that Christy's in the driver's seat and she's going to take a fall. But for right now, she is doing very well. I could see her making it very far, especially with Tommy in her ear, you know, making sure that things are going well. So I'm going to go with a 6 for Christy.
She can keep a secret. Unlike a lot of these people in the house, I do feel like that she can keep a secret. And that is a tough ability to, or not, it's a rare ability to have in the Big Brother house when people got big mouths.
Yes. The audience has also gone up to a 5 for Christy. So it's going to be 5s from Brent, Melissa, and the audience, a 6 from myself. All right. All right. Let's talk about Cliff. Cliff. All right. So last week I was the lowest on Cliff, whereas I was the highest on Christy. Brent was the highest on Cliff at an 8, but I'll talk about Cliff first here. I was the lowest on Cliff at a 5. I actually feel better about Cliff than I did before. I do. I don't know if it's enough to go up to a 6 to match that Christy level, because I do feel like Christy's in a better spot ultimately. So I'm going to stick to my 5 for Cliff. Before it was kind of like, oh, I'm not sure if he should get a 5. And now I'm like, he's definitely a 5, maybe a 6. So I have gone up, but it's still the same rating ultimately for Cliff. I like how he thinks about the game. I think he's very, very smart. I think that he has gotten in good with the big majority lines. He is a rat, but he's one that hasn't ratted himself out. He's one that hasn't been caught. And the big majority alliance loves this guy. They want to keep him around. They want to keep him around long after Nick and Bella and Sam are voted out. They like him and they want him to stick around. And that's exactly what he wants them to do. Meanwhile, he is secretly working against them behind their backs, working with Nicole, working with Ovi, who might not come back into the game. But at the very least, he's working with one of the more capable players to bring this big group down so that they can infiltrate and make things work. The things that he says in the morning, a lot of them are very, very smart. He asked his family, hey guys, I know this wasn't like in the plan, but can you please include a picture of our dog if I ever win HOH? Because these people won't shut up about their dogs, and it will be a great opportunity for me to have more conversations with them and be more on their level and talk to them about things. Like he is thinking on that level, and I love what he's doing. His position is still not the best in the world. It's still going to be a tough road for him to get to a position where he can win the game, but I do like his position, and I think it's on an upward trajectory at the moment, I hope, given the work that he's going to put in. So I'm sticking at a 5. Brent, you were the highest on him last week at an 8. Are you still there?
No, I'm not there. I don't feel terrible about Cliff's game, but I'm like, well, maybe I was a little bit too generous last week, gave him an 8. Like, I probably was a little emotional, like, because at the time he was one of the few people in the house that I could tolerate. But I don't want to give him a terrible score here, because I do agree with Taryn's assessment that he has made great strides over the week in terms of trying to get himself into a position to undermine the alliance from the inside out. And they do enjoy these people, and he is always thinking about the game. So those are all really positive things. I continue to go back to the fact that as I've said since the beginning of this season, I do feel like he's in it for the long haul. But can a person like this ever win the game? And by win, that means get to the end. Can he get to the end of the game? I don't think so. So it's very tough for me to evaluate him, because it's a win or not game. And If Cliff, I have said this from the beginning with Cliff, he's going to have to get messy at some point and make people dislike him in order for him to win the game. Because in order to win the game, he's going to need to be taken to the end of the game. He's not going to be able to win one of those final competitions, I don't think. So yeah, he's going to be taken to the end of the game. In order for him to be taken to the end of the game, that means that somebody must feel that he's dislikable enough that they would beat him. And the only way for that to happen is for him to get a little bit messy. So if he does eventually undermine this alliance, I hope he owns it more. So I'm going to give him a 6. I do feel good about his game, but not great. I just feel a little bit worse in some ways and a little bit better in some other ways.
All right, Melissa.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you guys. I like the way Cliff's thinking. I think that it is going to be a tricky road, because, you know, at this point, it seems like he might be trying to get towards the end by working with grateful. And if you can't find a way to, you know, cut that out and tear that alliance apart, he might not have an in. They might just pick him off. So that's why I'm just gonna stick with my six from last week.
As does the audience. The audience stays with their six as well. So that's gonna leave him back where he started at a six. So let's talk about Sam. Sam last week got a four. Brent, you were the lowest on Sam at a three last week. How do you feel about Sam this week?
Worse. I feel worse, but I'm going to continue to give him the score that I gave him last week. I'm going to give him a three. Here's the thing. I do feel like that he is protected by a few people. He's protected by Nick, Bella. They like him very much. They don't want to let him go. But winning another veto when he doesn't need to doesn't lead me to have any confidence in his game-making decisions at all. Having said that, though, if the alliance does break up, Nick and Bella come off to the side with Sam and maybe a couple of other people, maybe Nicole, maybe Cliff, maybe somebody gloms onto them. Who knows? Maybe whoever comes back in from Camp Comeback. I do feel like they, as a whole, will eventually be able to make a run at the game. But having already shown he can win right away, I feel like people know that he's here to win, know that he's competitive, and that's not good for him. So anything that I like about him is immediately washed away by this second veto win. So it's another three.
Yeah, I'm going to give him, I agree with what you just said. I'm going to give him a four. I gave him a five last week, four this week. I don't like that he's winning so much. I don't think that's good for him. And I think that's going to come back around to hurt him. That's why I'm giving him a four.
All right. I actually have maybe a slightly different take on Sam. I don't love his decision to win the veto. I think it was dumb. If he didn't win the veto, I'd maybe give him a six, to be honest. I really like where Sam has gone in the game because I think he's at a point where Bella and Nick are much bigger targets than Sam. Sam actually gets along with a lot of people in the house. They see him as a competition threat, but they don't see him as a social threat. But they still like him and they still respect him to some degree. I don't think he's going to get taken out by the big alliance. Nick and Bella have already said that they're not going to let that happen. So it'll be Nick and Bella first if that happens. And if Nick and Bella are able to take the shot first themselves, then he'll be on that side with the power. I think he's somebody that that is proven that he can win competitions. And that's a good thing for him as well. If he ends up winning some key competitions here and there, I feel like he can make some moves as well. I just, even though he should be a target given his competition prowess thus far, he's not really yet, and I don't see him going before jury. And if he makes it to jury, I feel like he, that by then hopefully there's some kind of war happening. He's right. Probably not going to be taken out at that point. And so I do like the current trajectory. He felt expendable last week. I feel like he's not expendable this week. I feel like he's not going to be in trouble anytime soon. So I'm actually going to go up to a five. I still don't love his decision making. I still don't want him to be winning these competitions. But I don't think it's done enough damage to counteract all of the great positioning that I see him in, even though it's not necessarily entirely, you know, his work is doing. I think that he is in a decent spot, so I'm gonna go with a five for Sam, and the audience also went with a five. I believe that's keeps him at a four though. No movement.
Okay.
All right, so let's talk about the next person here on the list, which is Nicole. I love Nicole. Mm-hmm. I really, really like Nicole. I feel like she has a lot of potential in the game. She's also in a good spot. I feel like everything that I said about Cliff, I can mostly say about Nicole, but with one major difference, which is that I think she is a lot more likely to win the game. I think that Nicole is in the perfect archetype to win, and she has survived the early danger portion of the game for that archetype. She is the nerdy person. That's great. People are going to underestimate her. They already are underestimating her. She can be taken to the final two, and she can win her way to the final two, and she can win in the final two, in my opinion. That's all great stuff. She is in a position where she is working on demolishing the big group. The big group does not want her gone. They do not plan on evicting her. They only plan on evicting Kat and Jess. And you know, like that sort of grouping of people. If it has to be, it'll be Bella and Nick next. They do not want to target Nicole yet. I love all of that. Last week, I gave her a 6. I'm not sure. Not sure I can go all the way up to a 7 just because she's not out of the woods yet in terms of the big group breaking up. So I'm going to stay with my 6, but I am hopeful for Nicole's future personally. Brent, you gave her a 7 last week. How do you feel now?
I feel similarly about Nicole as I felt last week, but I acknowledge the fact that if things stay as they are, it's going to be tough goings for her if this alliance continues on the path that it is. I gave her a 7 last week. I'm going to continue to give her a 7 this week. I feel great about her decision-making abilities. I also feel like she's somebody who you don't need to tell twice. If somebody shows you that they are not trustworthy, I feel like she is smart enough to know, okay, I shouldn't trust them. So I do feel good about her within the game of Big Brother, the choices that she's making, working from the bottom of the totem pole. I kind of hate it that she does have to work from the bottom of the totem pole. On the other hand, if she was at the top of the totem pole, we probably wouldn't like her as much. So let's see what happens with Nicole.
Yeah, I've been very impressed with Nicole. I think that she has a really good head for the game. And I think that the way that she's playing it is good because she's not out there and people aren't suspecting the things that she's doing. She's just planting seeds. And I mean, if she was out there making moves, she'd immediately. So she can't really play that way. She has to play pretty subtle. And I think she's been doing a really good job of that. And even when she says certain things or does certain things and makes people think about things the way she wants to have them think about it, they still don't know that it's Nicole doing that. They're like, well, I can't see Nicole doing that. Well, I can't see Nicole doing this sort of thing. And that is the exact position where you want to be, that they don't see her as a strategic threat. They just see her as, you know, oh, it's Nicole. And then that's where you swoop in. So I've been very impressed with her game. And I think that she has a good chance of going far. So I'm going to give her a 7.
There you go. The audience agrees with the two of you. The audience also gave Nicole a 7. So Nicole's going to go up from a 6 to a 7. I think the only person, I'm looking at this correctly, the only person, no, Christy rose from a 4 to a 5. And Nicole is also going to rise from a 6 to a 7. So not the only person to rise, but one of the few thus far. And looking at the final two people here, yeah, definitely going to be the only one. Left. Because next up is Kemi. Kemi, who looks to be on her way out the door. On her way upstairs. I love Kemi. I do. Last week I gave her a 3. I wanted to go with you guys who gave her 4s and 5s. I wish that this week I was like, I could be like, good, I was lower than I needed to be. But unfortunately, I was right on that one. And it's got to go down to a 2. I just really don't see a way out for her. But I'm not willing to go to a 1 because I do think she still has some potential in the game and she can come back. It's not completely dead for Kemi. I'm giving her a 2. It's not looking good. It's not looking good, Melissa.
I'm so disappointed. I mean, I just feel like she's so smart and she has a good head for the game. And I feel like she can see what's going on and just she's not getting any ins with anybody. And it's so sucky because I really want her to stay this week so desperately. And I do think that she can do it. I think if anyone could pull it off, she can pull it off. I think she's smart enough. And I think she has the people behind her who can help her. I think Nicole could help her, you know, exponentially. And I think that also if she can get David's advice on things, I just think David could help her. I feel like there are people on her side that can help her. I don't know if it's going to happen. And I really want her to stay. I don't want to give her a low score because I do think that if she does stay, I think she could go far. But she is likely not going to stay. So I'm going to give her a three, and not because of her gaming and not because of her strategy or anything. It's purely because she's likely going home.
Yeah. Brent.
It's a two for me. I love her to death. I love the fact that she finally acknowledged what we all see on the outside is going on in the house right now when she was talking with David. I wish that she had the freedom to be able to talk about it a little bit more openly. Like, I wish they actually came out and said, hey, have you noticed that the three people who are probably going to be up in camp come back are the three people in the house with the most melanin in their skin? Have you noticed that? That the white people are all sending the brown people home? Like, have you that even crossed your mind at all? No. Apparently not. But I mean, I'm glad to see that she finally did acknowledge that, because it was kind of annoying me that they haven't even acknowledged it. I love her. She's got great game skills as far as knowing. Well, here's the thing. At least she finally figured out that she shouldn't trust Bella. But it's a day late and a dollar short on that. As far as her social ability, I do feel like that she is okay. This is what I'm talking about with skills, because she can even go to a player like Jack and have a conversation with him. She can put aside her differences with him and say, you know what, let's talk for a second. And there have been many people, like the history of Big Brother is lined with the corpses of other house guests who did not have that ability to go talk to your worst enemy and say, you know what, let's put differences aside. And I wouldn't target you next week if I actually stayed in the house. And I do feel like that she would actually stay true to that if she stayed. Jackson, on the other hand, I don't feel like. And I do have to come down on her a little bit by the fact that she wasn't willing to tell Jackson a lie. Like, why not, girl? Like, is the camp comeback thing, is that what's causing her not to want to lie to Jackson? If so, I'm really disappointed by that. But,
yeah.
You can't go any higher than a two here. By the way, Melissa, your power went out, so it looks like after dark.
The sun set, and I had forgotten to turn on the lights in the room because the sun was out, so I was like, oh, I'm fine. And then now I forgot that the round table lasts for like 7 hours. So.
Yeah, Brent, if her power went out, we probably wouldn't be talking to her anymore.
Well, you know. Okay, I've been watching Cat too much.
Yeah.
My favorite Cat thing was... So is iced coffee, is that really coffee? Or is that
You mentioned this on one of the morning updates or something, but when she talks about the pissing contest, she's like, what? Are you really pissing?
And
she's like,
really pissing?
She's like, no. And she's like, oh, I thought they were just like seeing how far they could go. It's like, oh my God.
All right. Well,
love her.
The audience can go higher than a two, Brent. The audience went with a four for Kemi. The audience,
y'all are freaking crazy.
They love Kemi.
Y'all are nuts. God.
Audience, great. I'm going to want you to be a little more objective.
Come
next
on,
week.
People. So is that something? I think she's actually going to stay at the same score because the four.
I think she'll be a three. She was a four last week.
Oh, she was a four last week? Oh, yeah. Okay. So what's she go? So what
she has gone down, game? I think.
She's gone down. Yeah. Girl, bye. All right. Well, we love you, Kimmy.
All right. Let's talk Jessica here. I gave Jess three last week. Again, the lowest on Jess last week. And it's, again, I feel like the right direction here. Brent has a paddle ready.
I am going to give her another one. I'm handing out ones like candy. I can't even remember giving ones to people. This is terrible. Like, she is just a worse player. I mean, the only positive thing you can say about Jessica is that she finally realizes after getting knocked upside the head that not all women are made the same. Newsflash, woman. Okay? Like, you can't just treat all women the same, like they fit all into the same box. Having said that, beyond that, these people do not take her seriously. I think there's a very good chance that she is the next target. I really feel like she's the next person out because the house guests do not fear her. They're like, well, if we get her out and then she comes back into the game, so what? We can always just say, are we really going to fear Jessica? They should fear her, I feel like, but if she gets a foothold in the game, maybe she could do something. But the other thing, too, is that she chose Jackson as her veto pick.
Oh,
this
my
week.
God. I
and,
forgot
like,
about
all
that.
Jackson did was throw a little bit of nice words at her, and then she was like, you know, okay, I'll pick Jackson. So as if he'll use the veto
stupid.
On me.
That was so stupid.
Yeah. I'm so giving her one stupid. Just on principle. Just on principle.
Oh. I'm going to... I agree with everything you just said, but I'm going to give her a 2, and that's only because she's likely staying this week. So, yeah. I mean, maybe things could turn around for her next week, so right, that's why I'm going to give her a 2.
Yeah. I honestly, this is the closest I've come to giving a 1 this season thus far, but I just can't do it. There's still too much, like, I think that she, again, there's like 2 people that are going to be evicted next week. It's going to be Kat or it's going to be Jess. So I'm going to give her a 2. If she survives somehow, I could see her sticking around for a while because she is not very threatening. And for that reason alone, I'm going to give her the 2 over the 1. But you're on notice, Jess. The audience agrees with us. They gave her a 2. Very yeah, low Stax, on Jess.
Stax is in the chat going, I want to love her. Yeah, Stax, we're exactly like you, man. Like, we all want to love Jess. She's so pro-woman in the beginning. I'm like, yes, go, girl. Go. But then she treated all women the same, trusted Holly and Kat when she probably shouldn't have. And then Bella ratted her out when she shouldn't have made an alliance with her. Now she's saying she wasn't the head of the alliance when everybody knows that she was. Like, she's denying it to the people that she made the alliance with.
Yeah.
How does that make sense?
And I also feel like she's not doing a good job of, like, even campaigning or trying to stay in the house. Like, she's not even like, okay, well, clearly this is the person I should go to. These are the people I shouldn't go to. Like, this is what I need to do. She's just, like, crying and sad and, like, whatever. It's like, it's not helping. So, yeah.
Yeah, Christina can probably help us out on this, but this might be a record where there are 2 people on the block this week, and the person who is almost definitely going home was given a 4 by the audience, and the person who is likely staying was given a 2 by the audience.
Oh my God. Yeah, well, I feel the same way.
If you invested in Jessica, girl, you're hurting, because she lost half her value.
You just lost some money.
Yikes.
Yeah. So we're going to briefly also rate the 2 evicted house guests, Ovi and David, because they're still in the house. They're still playing a game. So we're going to give them a rating. I did not really specify how to rate them because I figured it'll balance out. Right. There are some people that are going to be like, they're out of the game. They're terrible ones. And there are some people that are going to rate them like they're still playing the game. And ultimately, I think they're probably going to end up around at a low rating because they're not in the game, but still getting a rating because they're still doing things. They're still playing to some degree. These people we talked about before will not be on the market until one of them gets back in to the game, but their prices will continue to update until that moment comes. So, that's how we're gonna handle these players here. So let's talk about Ovi briefly. We don't need to go into too much depth because it's not they're not doing that much here. Ovi, he's hanging out with Cliff and Nicole. His eyes have been opened. I do think that he could come back into the game and be the player that I think some of us at least hoped he would be after we were disappointed initially, in terms of his strategic ability. But in general, I am going to stick to my 2. I think that he is still going to be in a tough spot if he ever comes back into the game because his power has been exposed.
Yeah. I don't understand this guy, man. I take your point that at least he does realize that Nicole flat out told him, hey, like, they were snowing you, Jack and Jackson. Like, they told me specifically that I'm not campaigning for Ovi to stay, but I want Ovi to think that I'm campaigning for him to stay. So at least he realizes that, but I don't know that that's going to do him a whole hell of a lot of good because he's so freaking gullible. Like, even David, who has been in the house for like a minute, has a better handle on what's happening in the Big Brother house. Like, all the things that David and Ovi were talking about, David was right on the money. Ovi was like, you think? Oh, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, really, you've got a terrible read on the house, Ovi, so I can't go any higher than a 2.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a 3 because I do think that he doesn't have the best read on the house, but he is working with the right people right now in regards to Nicole and Cliff. However, I could absolutely see him going right back in with Jack. And like, say he gets back in the house, they know he has that power. Jack and Jackson are like, oh, come, we're taking you under our wing. I could see him absolutely being like, oh, great, cool, now I'm in. And that's like, well, not the case. So,
yeah, that's not the case. I mean, the thing is that Jack and Jackson had kept that power to themselves. Then I feel like I would feel more positively about this because then they might actually do something with Ovi if he comes back into the game. But now that everybody knows about it, they all realize, well, if two of us are saved, then two more of us are going up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's, and they're not, they don't even trust the fact that Obi would use the power for them, that he might do something more selfishly, which obviously he should. So.
Yes, yeah. But I mean, at least he does have a power. That's more than we thought he had last week. The audience also went with a 3, which means that Ovi is playing a better game Evicted than he did when he was still in the house.
Yeah.
Which honestly might be fair.
Yeah. Well, he knows more information now.
Yeah. And he, again, we now know he has a power, which we didn't before, which is a double-edged sword, but is something. All right. So finally, David. David, who has been out of the house for a week, he came back in. People were not really fond of him when he came back in, but I feel like they're warming to him, and I feel like his head is on straight. He read up on the subreddit, and he knows how to play this game, and so I'm going to give David a 3. Brent?
Yes. When you say that description, I'm expecting like a good score, and you're like, all right, it's a 3.
Well, it's kind of like I thought about like, well, I'll give them a rating and then I'll divide it by 4 because they have a 1 in 4 chance of coming back in.
That's a good point. I want to give him like an 8. If he was still in the game, I would give him like an 8.
But he's not. Whatever score you want to give him, because nobody can buy and sell this guy. So whatever you feel like is fine.
Mm. Brent, you go first. No.
Okay, I'm going to give him a 3. I feel like he deserves a 3. The fact of the matter is that he's not playing the game. He's not in the game, and there's a 1 in 4 chance that he actually comes back. But if he does come back, I do feel like he has done some good work in terms of trying to integrate himself. But as I have brought up before, and I'm not going to beat a dead horse, so fuck you all for saying I'm beating a dead horse, but this is the reality of what it's like for people of color to play a Big Brother game. Other people get a blank check. They come into the game and it's like, oh, I want to work with you. And then they get to know you. People like David, they demonize and they look at him differently. And he has to work so much harder than everybody else to prove what a capable and kind person he is to these people. And now they realize that, but they didn't 3 days ago. And that's something else that other people don't have to deal with. So that's why. It's not why I'm giving him a 3, but it's the reality of where his game is right now.
If he was still in the game, I would give him an 8 because I think he's doing really well. I think he's got a great read on the house. I think he's a great player, but he's not in the game. So I'm going to give him a 5 because I think he's got such a great read on the house. And I think that if he could come back in, he could do some damage. So
okay.
All right. The audience very nearly gave him a 5, but it was in fact a 4. So the audience is going to give David a 4. People are asking, how will the stock work if he comes back in? So what we're going to do, we're just going to keep updating his price based on the ratings that he gets. We're going to start with his current rating, which is going to be a 4, I think. And so that'll be his starting price, and then it'll be impacted each week that that we continue to rate him. And if he comes back in, he will be activated at the price that he comes back in with, and that'll be how we work with it. And at that point you can buy, and obviously nobody could buy him before, but at that point you would be able to buy or sell. And same thing goes with Ovi or anybody else that gets evicted and then comes back in. So there you go. Somebody not in the game getting a higher rating than I think a good like 5 other players in the house.
1, 2. There's only 3 people who got an average score of 6 or higher. That's pretty sad.
I felt better last week.
Yeah, I felt better last week too. I did. Yeah. I felt better before the stupid twist. Yeah.
We do have some prices up on the board here. If you want to watch along, if you're looking on YouTube, you can see we're not going to run through everybody's price here, but you can see it on the page. But that is the stock watch. We've rated all the players. We are real behind on time here, so we're gonna try and speed through some of these other things. I asked you to rate the episodes of Big Brother this week. And you gave me a rating of 3.7. Not fond of the episodes. I gotta say, I kind of agree.
Yep, me too.
Yeah, I mean that's about a 4 average. Like that's yeah, they haven't been great. They have not been showing. The edits have not been great. The content has not been great.
Yeah, and why are we watching? Like, I don't want to see Jackson as the star of the show or Jack as the star of the show. I don't want to see them at all. And then to have entire episodes centered around them. And like, it seemed like they were trying to show that like Jackson's a good guy because he wanted to talk to Kat when it's like, or like let Kat down easy or something when it's like, you should have given the full context, which was that you hooked up with her before feed started. Like it wasn't just a situation where she was being like creepy and annoying and like flirting with him. Like, and or like obsessive or something. He actually hooked up with her. Like that is the thing though, is like he's now trying to ghost her, but instead in the DR he's like, I need to think about myself or whatever. And it was just like, oh please, you're
for
gross.
Once in my life.
Yeah, for once in my life. Oh, I'm sure this is the first time you've ever thought about yourself.
It's the least comforting thing to tell somebody. For the first time in my life, I have to think about myself. That doesn't mean jack anything to the person that you're telling it to, because you haven't been benefiting them with your selflessness, supposed. Yeah. It's like, oh, thanks. Like, I just met you, and you're claiming this is the first time you're thinking about yourself, but I don't know that. Kind of makes it feel like you don't do that very often.
Yeah, and also the fact that he's saying, he's implying that the whole thing, he did this for her. I did this all for you. Like, that's just like, it's disgusting. It's like, it makes me so grossed out. So I am not, that whole edited thing. I mean, thank God they at least showed Kat at the end being like, get over yourself. Because otherwise it just makes her look like sad and like clingy or something. When that's not the case. So, yeah. Oh, God, these guys. Yeah.
For reference, last week, the episodes were rated a 5.6. So, big fall. How do you rate the feeds this week? The last week, the audience gave it a 6.6. This week, a 4.2. Oof.
Yikes. Not great.
They have not been great. It's making me be like, hey, guys. Remember Big Brother Canada 7? Remember that?
Yeah, and that sucked too. So, yeah, great.
Better than this, though.
Yeah, that's true.
How would you rate the season as a whole so far? Last week, it was a 5.7. Now, this is the overall, how do you think of the season thus far? With both weeks taken into consideration, it's fallen all the way down to a 3.8. It's not looking good. I said this before, though. I think this is all of the worst things coming together in one week. I feel like we can only go up from here. Next week will probably also be kind of slow, but hopefully not as bad as this week. And then the week after that, Camp Comeback will be over. That's when things will start to kick off, hopefully. And I feel like we can only go up. We can only go up from here.
Yeah, it almost feels like it's Battle of the Block, like in 17, was it 17? Yeah, 17, where like I felt like we were treading water for the longest time with Battle of the Block. And then it finally ended like after 4 or 5 weeks, and James went HOH, targeted Clay and Shelly. And it was like, we're off to the races with the season. Finally, something is happening. Big moves are being made. I really do feel like Camp Comeback is giving us the same sort of mechanism in a way.
Yeah. This is, I'm pretty sure, by far the lowest ratings we've ever gotten for the feeds, the episodes, and the season as a whole. So,
hopefully great that, job, casting.
Good
job.
Doing great.
We also have to rank the players from your favorite to your least favorite. Nicole topping the charts this week, taking control from Cliff. Cliff remains in second place. And closely followed by Tommy, then Kemi and David, and then Catherine and Ovi. That's going to be the top half.
That's about right.
In general. That is about right, I think. Bottom, Jack, the very bottom.
What did you call me? Oh, I'm sorry.
Followed by Jackson, and then Sis, and then Jess. And then, you know, from there, it's the rest of them.
And the rest. It's like Gilligan's Island and the rest.
Who did people think was the best person for Jack to have targeted this week for his game? People do agree pretty majoritedly. 45% say Kemi. Kemi was the right person to target. 18% say he should have gone after Nick. 18% say he should take out Jess. But the vast majority here say Kemi is the right move, and I unfortunately have to agree. Yeah. I ask people, how do they feel about the camp comeback twists? Hate it? Love it? Scale of 1 to 100. People said, about a 46. Close to the middle.
Okay. All right.
That's I was surprised. Bad. I was thinking less, but well, more people share Melissa's opinion than I realized.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like they're like, well, we got to see David, and isn't David cool? And I'm like, yeah, but I feel like what we're giving up, you know, in order to get to know David a little bit, is just like, it's so much. It just stifles gameplay so much.
Yeah, and I should say, I mean, a 46 is still like a real failing grade there, ultimately. Yeah, yeah. But in terms of twist comparisons, it's one of the higher ones. How do you feel about the chaos power? That was a 32.
Oh, we love that. Well,
people don't like the power, but I think they like that they don't like the power because of who it went to.
Yeah. Exactly. It was like, if I ever go on Big Brother, man, I do not want the second whatever temptation power ring, whatever.
Yeah, it always seems to suck.
Always freaking sucks, man. Ugh.
They always give a good one at first, and then it's like, okay, it falls down because everyone wants it, and then it's like, oh, never mind.
Even Tyler's power was very, basically only good at a veto ceremony. So, yeah, although it was still better than the other shit that like ring of replacement in this one. So,
all right. So I also asked, who do you want as of right now? Who do you want to return from Camp Comeback? 71% said
David.
David. Yeah. 28% say Ovi.
Which means who won't come back.
Yes. Who do you want to be evicted this week? 91% said Jessica.
Yeah.
I don't know who these 8%ers are, but
I don't know who they are either.
Get out of my survey.
Yeah.
So there you go. That was that. We do have a leaderboard for the Stock Watch that we can pull up. We're not going to spend too much time on it. It's still pretty early here, but we can see that. Hey, look, that's me.
Are we leaderboard for what?
The Stock Watch.
Oh, are you the leader?
I'm tied for the lead right now with some other people. I see Alex Rubino and some people from Reddit, some people from my Twitch Discord. And we got two people from the Patreon group.
I'm curious about what did you do since you're humble bragging about your lead?
we bought in on Tommy. Tommy was the right call there.
And Tommy, what happened to him?
He stayed at an 8, which means he got a consistency bonus and got some money added.
Uh-huh.
He went up to 11. I also see Beast from Reddit, the last in Big Brother Canada 7. Yes, he was the champion. And I see that this person has also done well here.
Right. I will tell you that I think I probably did. If you're leading, then that means you must have done to the nth degree what I did, which is I bought almost exclusively Tommy stock because I almost bought like Kat or somebody like down low. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go a different direction this year. I'm going to invest in somebody that I actually have confidence in from the beginning is good. And so I put $180 into Tommy, but then I took a $20 flyer on Ovi because I fell for the Julie Chen thing where like he may not be leaving after all. And then I was like, if he's at $2 right now, I can see him going way up if he actually stays in the house. So I'm kind of stuck with 10 shares of Ovi stock until he comes back into the game or I lose it totally. But like, I remember talking with LaGoria about it. And I was like, he's like, do you really think that that's worth doing? I'm like, it's $20. Watch me lose the whole thing by $20.
Yes, I do see Brent there in tied for 20th place, mostly because there's a lot of people tied for first.
Yes.
If I can scroll. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, Melissa.
That's enough, Taryn. You don't need to scroll down. Oh, if I can just keep scrolling. Oh, no, my hand hurts. I can't. Oh, I can't scroll any further to get down the list.
There she is.
I'm at 104. Thank you. But also I was saving my money for this week because I felt like I couldn't get a true sense of the cast last
week.
There you go. So I bought I diversified a little and I bought some Nicole and some Holly and some Tommy. And then saved most of my money so I could buy it this week.
It is still, it's early days. There's not a ton of difference between the upper tiers and the lower tiers in terms of overall money. So there you go. Not going to spend too much time on it. Just giving you a quick update on the leaderboard. Alexander says we have 270 participants so far. If you want to join in on the game, you can contact Alexandra on Twitter. You can go to the Patreon group. You can go to Reddit. You can go to my Twitch channel. We've got a Discord, or you can tweet with the hashtag BBStockWatch, and you can join in anytime you want. You will not miss out on too much money if you join late. So there you go. It's been a lot of fun. We're enjoying ourselves.
Yes, we are. Thank you.
Not real money. That's correct. It's fake money.
Fake money.
Except for when I force you guys to pay me out at my top money making amount. All right. I think that's what we have, guys. It's been a long podcast.
Happens. Look, when you have 16 people at the house and then we spend a half hour at the beginning bitching about the twist, which totally had it coming, by the way. This is what you get. Sorry.
Yeah. I did see a tweet when we were talking earlier about Jack and Jackson, from Mia on Twitter, said, just a personal experience as someone from India, this house takes me back to younger years before people were exposed to diversity. Now most people are socially aware and it's different. This cast seems to be from pockets that still don't know better. So that's what we got in the house, and that's what we have for a podcast. hopefully in the future we will not have a twist to debate about for the first half hour of the show, and we'll be a little more succinct. But thank you so much for joining us. It's been a journey. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Any final thoughts, Melissa, Brent? Let us know if you have an idea for a hashtag in the chat.
Yeah, I see people in the chat that are like suggesting hashtags that we would never ever use. Like, come on, people! Like, this is RHAP. We're not going to use something glued. Come on, and we're not going to. I don't think Hateful Eight's going to make it either. So, I mean, I can call them that, but it's never going to be a hashtag. Oh yeah, hashtag 45 seconds. That might be good, Taryn.
That like seems that. Lewd.
Oh. Is it? I'm sorry. I guess my standards of lewd are different than yours. It's shocking.
Look, unlike Nick, our podcast lasts for a really long time.
Oh, shade.
Oh. Hey.
Let's see here. Well, you know what? Let's do 45 seconds. Why not?
All right.
All right, so make sure you check out Summerstein. Came out today, I believe. I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today, or everything that happened today, or will still continue to happen tonight on the Big Brother 21 live feeds. And then Wednesday, we'll be back with a recap episode. And then Thursday, we'll do the eviction recap with Caitlin Herman. And Wednesday we have Michelle from Big Brother 10.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Michelle from Big Brother 10. Yeah. Sorry. Michelle from Big Brother 10. Sorry, I'm Michelle. Why can't I see her face right now?
Michelle Costa.
Oh, Costa. God, oh, my God.
I know. I usually you Michelle say the full Costa. Name. I'm sorry.
Yeah. When it's Michelle, it's always Michelle Costa. Yeah. Sorry. Michelle, you know, I love you. Like, I have Michelle as my number one on people that have never been brought back, who should have been brought back. If you guys remember that podcast from a couple of years ago. So I live for Michelle Costa.
Yes. And if you enjoyed the Stockwatch portion and you want to learn more about the decision makings and the prices that everyone is at and all of that stuff, you can check out my Twitch stream, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, on Thursday at around 3 p.m. Eastern. I will be going live and running through all of the players and decisions and giving advice. Last week, I gave the advice that I felt like Tommy was probably the best buy, and I was right that time. So, you know, we have a lot of fun. We'll have some updaters come on, and Brent and Melissa are, of course, invited anytime they want to come on. We get guests, they talk about the prices and all that stuff. It's a fun time. So join me on Twitch. You can follow me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. You can find Melissa at It's Melissa with 3 A's. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. And my cat is on Twitter at Taryn underscore Armstrong. So
your what?
My
what?
Cat.
What was that? Your cat is on Twitter at underscore.
Sorry. I meant Instagram. Did I not say Instagram?
No, you said Twitter.
Yes, my cat is on Instagram.
Okay.
At Taryn underscore
or Taryn underscore.
Oh
Armstrong.
God, Taryn, this is
it's
so
been
wrong.
Too long of a
this
podcast.
So wrong. Oh boy!
All right.
For Bye Brent and ditches. Melissa, I am Taryn Armstrong. Hashtag 45 seconds. We'll see you next time.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.